Maybe we will ask Susa if he's ill and then we'll ask Emma.
All right, okay.
And then she'll be able to be, and then we'll put it in back, maybe. That is my suggestion.
Thank you, Susa.
Good morning, honorable members.
Morning, honorable chairperson.
Morning, chairperson. Morning, chair.
I'm sorry.
How are you, chairperson?
I'm fine, but I'm not fine because I was struggling with this. I don't know if
network.
Yeah. Finally, I'm in. I've been trying since half past eight.
Hey,
yeah. Good morning, honorable members. Hoping that we have a good weekend. Let me take this opportunity. Hello, somebody think. I'm greeting you, honorable members, and I'm saying, with a weekend that I'm hoping that you were doing the community work as leader of South Africa. I'm suspecting we are preparing for your sauna outfits, those who are going to go live. you must look presentable, irrespective of that your house has been burnt down. We are still alive. We must carry on the work for the South Africans. I'm taking this opportunity to welcome everyone who's in this platform, Cricket South Africa, our department. I'm not greeting only our members of committee. We always have bad news and good news as part of life. This final days of the AFCON, we do congratulate the Senegalese. I wish that we were there, but at least our referees and some other people from South Africa, they were there. Our Banyana Banyana and the big boys will one other day come back with this cup. I was looking at the people of Senegal. They were reminding me of 2010, but I don't think we were even quarter of those people. I'm hoping that one day that thing will happen in South Africa. Also, we want to wish Banyana Banyana, was saying, well, Banyana Banyana, you have done good for us. Against Zambia. We wish that they are going to having a friendly match with Zambia. We wish that they must present us. I've seen even the girls for cricket. Last week we congratulated the Cricket South Africa, but also our girls are doing they are most things that they are good on it. With those words, let's take care of ourselves. This silent killer is still with us. We're still seeing numbers. One day we'll be seeing numbers are reduced, other day 500 people hospitalized, let alone that they are not put on oxygen. Let's take care of ourselves whilst we want that we must go back to fields to be spectators, but I'm suspecting time comes, we must put on our mask. This violent killer, the winter is at the door. If we're just careless thinking that is over, we'll be making mistakes, but also we need to try and tell our communities that this virus is still with us. Let's take precautions, let alone those who have right to take vaccine. They must vaccine. The vaccination must go on. Those who think that their kids, they want them to do so, they must. In those words, I'm saying that you are welcome. According to the agenda, as you've seen it, I wanted to check who's here in order that we must get in apologies if there are people who are supposed to be in, not in. Firstly, who is in here and who is not in?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Chairman.
Good morning, colleagues. Chair, I wanted to let's follow the agenda. We did not adopt the agenda before we go to apologies and
I don't. I don't have any problem on that, but I did discuss this with with our office. They were saying that they are thinking that according to them, this is a standard a practice of the agenda. But if you want that, you must start with apologies. I don't think I do have any problem. Any we are saying let's adopt the agenda, firstly, Honorable Song.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Chairperson.
Can we adopt the agenda, or Honorable Members?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Take out your picture, your network is bad like mine. We've seen you, you are handsome. Thank you, Honorable Msongo. Who's seconding the adoption of the agenda?
Chairperson, I second the proposal.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. Do we have apologies?
Yes, Madam Chair, we have an apology from Minister Mkeswa. He will be joining the meeting a little bit late due to a prior commitment. The Deputy Minister also is not feeling well this morning, and she will be consulting a doctor. We also have an apology from Mamukawula. She will not be joining us today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other apologies except of the minister? I did get also this morning from the PLO that they are flying down from the task that they were having it. They are in a flight. They will join us in 30 minutes later. They are going to land. I did also as chairperson, that I did get the one of the deputy minister. Any other apology?
Chairperson?
Yes, honorable member.
I did receive a message from Honorable Malumane. She's struggling to get in, but she will not in.
Okay. I was struggling also myself. Any other apology?
Mr. Msongo's hand is up, Madam Chair.
Okay. Honorable Msongo?
It's an old hand.
Oh, okay, thank you. Any other apology from the officials of the department, from our visitors? Let's do it once and for all. We're taking our time. Uh, sing two hands, Mr. Rehan Richard. I'm singing DJ's Jazz song. He is beautiful, face and well dressed. Mr. Rehan Richard.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I must extend an apology for one of our members, Steve Bandlender. Unfortunately, is also appearing in another committee, a portfolio committee, where he is actually representing the department. So I have to extend an apology for him. He was part of our delegation, but unfortunately cannot make it due to double commitment.
Who's that?
Steve Bandlender.
Oh, Steve.
Our lead independent director.
Okay. Thank you for that. DJ?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Members. I've got in our meeting the DDG responsible for the sport recreation development and sport promotion, DDG Khan. And if I will just ask the Chair if they introduce themselves, and as the approaches have been noted from the Minister and the DM. DDG Khan and the colleagues, can you just introduce, show your faces, and then after that you switch off the face and the mic.
Please, Zoleka, check out what you have put in the screen. We're not just there.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. Good morning, DG, and good morning to the President of Cricket South Africa and the Chairperson of the Board and colleagues. My name is Sumaya Khan. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for recreation development and sports promotion in the department.
Thank you, DG.
Good morning, Honorable Member. My name is Marisa Chukwudamba, the Head of Corporate Services in District. I greet the Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, Cricket World SSF. Thank you.
Thank you. Your network is bad, Mandy. Very bad, you are going to struggle. Thank you. DJ, you wanted today that you must take our time. You were supposed to introduce your office, and then we're supposed now not still in the introduction. But let's try to do it quickly.
Excuse me, Madam Chair?
Yes.
The Minister is just joining the meeting.
Yes, 30 minutes is over. Yeah. Thank you. Honorable members, Minister has joined us. I don't hear any other introduction from the Office of UDG. Let me take this opportunity now to greet Minister Mteto. We did get your apology, and then now you have joined us. The item that you are on it now is the overview by Department of Cricket South Africa. But let me give to you, Minister. You'll direct your team. Thank you so much. Ntate Nyambuzi, ukhona. So inoba kakangeni. DJ?
Yes.
Anyone in the house?
The minister is in, Madam Chair. Maybe we can
check
from the side, yes, but he is in the meeting according to the list of participants.
DG?
No, thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Chairperson, point of order?
Yes.
Chairperson, I'm concerned. The minister is in, but he's not saying anything with this so important issue that South Africa is undergoing, especially on sporting codes. And I think people can be joined by us and just switch on and do other things. Because remember, you told us that he's going to another meeting. I'm concerned, please, if he's not saying anything now, he must write on the chat that he's struggling to connect, because he's connected but he's quiet. And this issue, this agenda item, it's so important what you hear his view as the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture. Please, if he's not saying anything, show that he's not
talking. Honorable Msongo, everyone, our people, and the time to be with us, because we are all having problem of network. Even your good self, I even said you must switch off because you were struggling. So I wanted that whilst the minister is not getting in, must
go. Hello, thank you.
Please, minister, wait, I'm still on the floor, honorable minister.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I was aware that minister has joined, but he was not able to talk. But I wanted that UDG must do something. We're not to give a minister. If minister is in the meeting, we cannot to give him a chance to talk to us. But because now we are in, honorable minister, please talk to us.
No, Chair has been in, and I must start there and say that this nonsensic intervention by the honorable member, who's impugning my integrity, that I am switching on, but I'm not attending the meeting. I take exception to that.
Chairperson, we've noted the minister's apologies out of order, because you read that he has apologized. I'm raising that as we've noted that apologies out of order to say I'm undermining his integrity. It's noted that he has apologized. He'll join later.
Please, honorable minister,
put words into my mouth. And now I'm talking while he's talking. It shows that his integrity is questionable, because I'm speaking and I've raised a point of order. Now, Chair, I'm pointing a point of order to say we've noted his apology. Now, I was not aware. I thought he's joining based on the apology. He'll join us later, as you stated on the apology. Now, I'm not questioning his integrity, but if it's like that, I won't question it, because we've noted his apology.
Can I chair this meeting? Thank you, Honorable Song. Honorable members, the apology of the minister was saying, minister is going to join us in 30 minutes. The meeting was supposed to start at 9 o'clock, and they are even indicate that the minister was on the flight and then will join us. And Usoleka indicated that the minister is on the platform. The only thing that I must put it on this platform is that when you said the minister is putting just the jacket and is not in here, maybe I can say that he is reacting on that, because I even said before the minister spoke that we must take care that we are all having problems of connection,
once you are in, as all of you, even when you were greeting us, accepting the agenda, I've said you must switch on your mic because your network is so bad. So I'm saying that let's not start this meeting in the bad note, because Minister, also you must listen to me when I'm telling. Honorable Msongo, also this thing, it was not handled accordingly. The apology of Minister and Deputy Minister, they were there, but we were aware that Minister will join us. So Uzoleka immediately think that Minister has joined us. I gave the chance to the Minister, and the Minister was not able to talk. And I was saying, in the meantime, let's give it to the DG. And then the Minister was saying, no, I'm here. So I'm saying, let's try to be ourselves. We're starting this meeting in a bad note. It's unlike us. Honorable Minister, I'm giving you a chance to talk to us. As I was telling you that we are now on the overview by each department, but we know that each department is led by the minister of this department. We are going to direct us what now to do. That's what I was saying, and that's what we have listened to once when you are unable to join us. Can I give the platform to you, Minister?
Well, thank you very much, Chair. I'm very happy with your intervention. Firstly, I would want to apologize for not giving you a chance to talk. Sorry, I'm really apologizing for that. But I'm happy that you understood what I was raising. Thanks so much. Chair, we're meeting a very important part of our work, Cricket South Africa. And as you know, Chair, that we have not compromised on the issue of transformation. We made it clear that all the sporting codes will press on transformation. We started this process by intervening on matters of cricket after all else has failed. As you know, Chair, I've always insisted that we have no intention to run sports as the department and ministry. We leave it to sport administrators to do that. But if all fails, we are duty bound to intervene as we did here. The interim board served its purpose until the time that we have the board now, which was elected last year. And the board is working. The board, part of what cricket did in this process of transformation was on its own volition to come about to put in place a process for social justice and nation building. And this process has come to an end, led by Advocate Dumisa Sebele, has come to an end. It has recommendations which are directed to government, which are directed to the board, Cricket South Africa generally. And as we speak, we have exchanged notes between ourselves as members of the department and Cricket South Africa to look at the way forward on the process of investigation and broader processes of transformation. You recall, Chair, when I assume Cricket South Africa is part of the but you recall that after the report, the Cricket South Africa started taking action in response of the outcome of the and we then have agreed that we will meet and look at the timelines, the things which you know this is where we are, Chair. We have said that we give full support to the board to do its work without any interference or whatsoever. And they have understood that our is to be an aid. We have shared with them the reports of the EPG as well, and they come from there and commended some areas which need to be safely treated. In the end, we want sports to be the winner, we want cricket to be the winner. In the end,
welcome
we want
this
better.
DG, it didn't mute. Please, DG. Sorry, Minister. Go on, Minister.
Minister.
It was DG. Sorry, Minister. DG was not
meeting. Okay. We want cricket at the end to be the winner. We want every time cricket is mentioned, it's for the good cause and good reason. And we have all the reasons to believe that under this leadership of cricket, South Africa would be able to see cricket taken to higher things. To those viewers, Chair, I must thank you and thank all the members of the Portfolio Committee and cricket and the department. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, you know we have so many bereavement in this country of ours. I've forgotten to do official condolences to our veteran sport commentator, Udata Umateza, because I was thinking that I did it when I was doing with former Chairperson Umpela, but this is the latest one as a committee. Condolences to the family and to the sport fraternity. Thank you, Honorable Minister. DG?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for the introduction, first introductory remarks in relation to the department's presentation. I would like to greet the chair, the president of Cricket SA, Mr. Ryan Richards, as well as the chairman of Cricket SA, Mr. Lawson Naidu. Our presentation is not quite long. The minister has captured the essence and maybe to save time for the board, for the portfolio committee. What I will do is just to indicate Chairperson that it was to just give an overview based on the request by portfolio committee to present on the Cricket SA. Key to this was the issue of briefing by Cricket SA on allegations of mismanagement and an update on the Social Justice and Nation Building Report, which the Cricket SA was able to do. I thought, as I mentioned, just to say that on the issue of governance, following the public outcry regarding cricket issues around governance-related matters, we are aware Minister did initiate a consultative process with all the stakeholders in the cricket family, and this included, of course, the past players, previous CSA presidents, CEOs, as well as the South African Cricket Players Association, all among others, as an attempt to respond to the public outcry about the state of cricket in SA. And then out of this consultation, then a minister had to make a decision to intervene on the affairs of Cricket SA. We know that to this level, he ended up then appointing what we call an interim board, which had all the multi-party stakeholders. And there was a very clear outline what they were supposed to do in what we call the 9-point plan that they needed to meet. But key outputs that the interim board was to really make sure happens. One was the issue of the adoption of the memorandum of incorporation, which would have focused on the implementation of the Nicholson recommendations. And then, of course, the installation of a board with independent board members as a key feature, particularly in the agenda of transformation at the governance level of cricket. And these were done. The interim board performed outstanding work and was able to achieve all the 9-point plan mandates that they were given. And today,
can Ms. Ramalepe share the presentation, please? It's not on the screen.
Can't see it. Please can it's trying the chatting, not what's happening. We have a problem in the building here about connectivity when it comes to this. But she's trying to share the presentation, Chatterson.
I will share it for him, Mr. That's fine.
Thanks. So, Honorable Chairperson, I was on slide 3, where I was indicating that today we are meeting here, happy to indicate that those interventions that the minister had to do have yielded positive results, and that we've got today, as we speak, the board that is composed of also independent members that will be addressing this portfolio committee. And therefore, we believe that transformation in the government level, governance level, is irreversible. And we are hoping that the board, the way they have gone about since they've started their work, is indeed a sign that there is hope for cricket going forward, not just for the country, but also for cricket to reclaim its position on the global stage, which was one of the key areas to deal with the issue of reputational damage that was facing Cricket SA. But also then on the outcome of this engagement by the minister, there was then also a very clear response in relation to dealing with the issue of allegations of racism and lack of transformation there. And this was done through the appointment of an ombudsman who led then what we call a social justice and nation building initiative. And this was indeed what minister have unequivocally supported from the beginning of this project. And the report has been done, and minister have accepted that, and he did also himself appear at the social justice and nation building hearings where advocate Dumisa Ntsebeza, as a chairing person there, was then engaging with the minister at that public hearing. To this end, then that was on the 6th of August, 2021, and then currently minister has received the report on the SJN hearings, and then will then be is applying his mind on what has been done, but also has had an opportunity to engage with the board to follow up on the implementation of these recommendations. And then there is no turning back in relation to the implementation of those recommendations, and the minister was clear in his engagement with the board around this issue. And the board has made full commitment towards achieving a transformed and growing cricket fraternity in this country. And then finally, on the issue of financial support that the football committee would be interested in, that for 2021-2022, Arts Programme. Honourable Chairperson, on the issue of one minister's reference on EPG, we can indicate that cricket was among those federations that did submit their report, and on this EPG matter, then the high level summary is just to share with you that firstly, at a level of just to indicate for the sake of the members of the portfolio committee, that we've got what we call the generic charter targets, but we also have what we call the barometer substat target. Now, when we look at then the report on cricket SA, firstly, on the category dealing with the level of governance at board or administration, there is an indication that there is still a work that has to be done, but at least there is progress here, where the full-time complement reflects a predominantly a Black African demographic of 56%, while the colored Indian is at 25% and white is at 19%. We know that these are not still at par with the national demographic percentages of our population, but at least there is a progress in this regard. And then at national male, senior, and underage teams, the indication is that we've got the scorecard that reflected a real challenge of an untransformed senior national team, male team, which is reportedly at a predominantly white 53%, colored in Indian at 27%, and Black African at 22%. Then on the issue of the national female, as well as underage teams, the senior cricket female team is still also having the similar challenge as the male team at 53% and unrepresented Black African demographic of 26%, colored in Indian at 21% as of 2019. When it comes to the officiating and running of the games, we've got coaches and referee structure, and here we've got federation's umpire structure, which is less transformed and has remained relatively unchanged since 2017 to 2019, with a predominantly white composition of 40%, as well as then the Black African at 30%, and then colored Indian at also 30%. When it comes to medical and scientific category of support base, here we've got sports psychologists that indicate 100% colored or Indian a composition. And then on school and the club structures, we have a report that indicated in the APG that the number of cricket clubs have remained almost static, unchanged, just with the increase of one from 845 to 846 over a period of 2 years, which is 2017 to 2019. While the cricket number of clubs have decreased also from 41,967 to 32,241, which is a decrease of 22%, but club member forecast remains largely unchanged throughout to 2030. But on the issues of performance overall, that they are achieving at least on the subset target at 73%, and that is on parameter target. Honourable Chairperson, that is an overall. I would like to thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, DG. According to our agenda now, we're welcoming you again, the president of cricket, with your entourage. Now is the time that you must greet and give us the briefing. I thank you, President.
Good morning, and thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Mrs. Beauty, and members of the Portfolio Committee. It's indeed a pleasure for us today to have this opportunity to provide the Portfolio Committee with an update of the matters that it requires. We have previously circulated our presentation, but I will ask one of the members just to share and to bring it onto screen. First of all, I am Rian Richards, I'm the president of CSA, and I'd like to introduce our delegation, which is the chairperson of the Board of Cricket South Africa, Mr. Lawson Nairu, Ms. Mudatambe Ravele, who's the chairperson of the Transformation Committee, Mr. John McCordy, who's a non-executive director of CSA, and our interim CEO and executive director, Ulethi Maseki. Madam Chair, as you know that we have gone, and as has been highlighted with the presentation of both the minister and the DG, that we've gone through a transition, and obviously the transition, we've changed our structure. And I just feel it's important that I would hand over to the chairperson of the board, who will take you through a number of issues. And I'm sure that there will be a lot of questions that just stems out of our presentation. So I hope that is acceptable to you, Madam Chair. And I introduce my chairman of the board, Mr. Lawson Nyden.
Lawson, thank you, President. Mr. Nyden.
Madam. Good morning, Madam Chair, and thank you for this opportunity for us as the cricket family, the CSA family, to present to you this morning on some important issues that we wish to report to the Portfolio Committee about. We've, as has been outlined by the Minister and the DG, as well as Mr. Richard, we've had to overcome some challenges in cricket in recent times, but we're very pleased that that process, the transition process to a new board, was completed in the middle of last year. We now have a new board of Cricket South Africa in terms of its new memorandum of incorporation, and I will inform you of the members of the board in a moment when we get to the relevant slide. Whilst we're doing that, I just want to, on behalf of the Board of Cricket South Africa, acknowledge the superlative performances by both our women's and men's teams in recent series. The women's team secured a series win over the West Indies on Sunday. The men's team won a highly competitive test series against India, as well as the ODI series. And both our teams are currently in New Zealand or en route to New Zealand. I think our women's team are still on their way there. And the women's team, as you know, will be participating in the ICC World T20 World Cup in New Zealand in March and April. And we wish them every success in those endeavors in New Zealand. Can we get to the slide with the composition of the board? So, Madam Chair, these are the 15 directors that now comprise the board of Cricket South Africa. You will see on the top row the 8 independent directors that were appointed through an independent process with the panel. That was comprised of independent experts from the Legal Practice Council, from SAICA, the Institute of Directors, former players, etc., and former president of Cricket South Africa. Those 8 independent members were appointed through that process. Then we have the 5 non-executive directors. Daniel Govender, Mr. John Mokgodi, who's here with us today, Cindy Wendunzo, who's from Border, Craig Nell from Mpumalanga, Tiboko Siko from the Titans, as well as our acting CEO, Mr. Museki, who's with us and whom I will introduce shortly, as well as our acting chief financial officer. So that is the structure of the new board. We've hit the ground running. We've had a lot of challenges on our plate since assuming office, and not least of which has been the social justice and nation building project, which concluded in December last year when we received the report from the Ombudsman Advocate in Zabeza on the 10th of December. Very shortly thereafter, we, as part of our commitment to openness and transparency, made that report publicly available, and I think we have all engaged with that report. Simultaneously with doing all of that, I think it's also important to emphasize, Madam Chair, that the board has also been engaged in developing a 5-year strategic framework for Cricket South Africa, where we wish to see the game in 5 years' time, the steps that we need to take to ensure that there's progress and success. And we've built that strategic framework on three fundamental pillars, and those pillars being access by ensuring that we provide opportunities for all who wish to be involved in the game, whether as players, administrators, or officials, to be given that opportunity to participate in the game of cricket. We also, the second pillar is that of inclusivity, to ensure that cricket becomes an inclusive sport in South Africa, and our aim is to make cricket the fastest growing sport in South Africa in the next few years. We've also set targets in terms of the third pillar, which is excellence, and that is excellence both in administration, through all of the structures of Cricket South Africa, from grassroots up, but also to say that as the national team, we wish to be seen as at the top of the pile of the global game, and that we would like to see the teams at the top, in the top three ranked countries in all formats of the game. And I think the recent success on the field of play has indicated the progress that has been made already in that regard, that it provides us with a solid platform to build for future success. As you also be aware, Madam Chair, South Africa will be hosting the Women's World Cup next year in 2023. It's a huge honour for us as a cricket family and as a country at large to be granted the rights to host such a prestigious tournament. And then in 2027, we will be hosting the Men's 50 Over World Cup also in South Africa. So I think, you know, those two tournaments being held here indicates a vote of confidence by the international cricket community of their faith and hope in the success of Cricket South Africa to be able to carry those off. With those few words of introduction, Madam Chair, I would now like to hand over to the acting CEO of Cricket South Africa, Mr. Buletsi Moseki, to take us through the salient points of the presentation that has previously been shared with you. And with your indulgence and acknowledging the time constraints that we face, Madam Chair, we don't propose to go through all of the 36 slides that are there, but simply to highlight some of the salient points and to focus on where we as a board are in terms of processing the SJN report and the way forward. So if I may please hand over to Mr. Moseki at this point.
Thank you, Lawson, Madam Chair, Honourable Minister, Honourable members of the committee, EGMKZ and the collecting department, members of the media and the general public, good morning all. Madam Chair, if you will allow me, can I switch off my video so that I can just go through the presentation?
Yes, you are allowed to do so.
Thank you, ma'am. Chair, based on the request from your office, I think in December, we structured our presentation in two parts. The first one is really an update on the report, and the second part is really an update on the SJN report itself. You know, with regards to the report, most of the findings and the recommendations have been implemented, or we are currently in the process of implementing. As you'll notice from the first seven bullets there, all those findings have basically been implemented and the recommendations themselves. The current status is really on the continuous review of our policies. And the SJN was quite important in that process because there were some of the findings and the recommendations from the Ombudsman that we're actually including in the current review of our policies that we are currently ongoing. And this is really to improve and strengthen our control environment. Madam Chair, there's still a few legal disputes against several dismissed employees and obviously one or two terminated contracts. So those ones are still ongoing, Chair. And the last major issue is really on the GSP contract that we basically had to help us with our MSR tournament. Fortunately, the company has since been liquidated in Singapore. But as you say, we have submitted a claim as part of their creditors. This basically allows us to participate in the whole process of the liquidation, Chair. So that is really, in brief, the current status of the Funduzi report. But as you will see, most of the findings and our recommendations have since been updated or implemented, Chair. So, Chair, before I move on to the Funduzi to the SJN report itself. I'm not sure if there's any questions on the matter. Or if the chair will take questions afterwards under the presentation.
Please, done your presentation, all the questions will engage and ask after all the presentations. Go on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the SJN report itself, maybe just a brief summary on the background. The committee might remember that basically the previous CSA board initiated the SJN initiative after a public statement by 43 former black friends. And it was really during that a Black Lives Matter process that was going on globally. Unfortunately, the board resigned before the process could start. And you all, the committee, would be aware that the minister then led the engagement on the appointment of the interim board, which the DG covered earlier. After several months of engagement and with the new board as well, the actual initiative did commence on the 12th of June, after the new board had finalized the terms of reference and the rules of procedure with the ombudsman. The report itself was delivered to the organization on the 10th. And we immediately shared the report with the minister, with the portfolio committee, SASCOC, and other implicated individuals. And we further shared the report with the public on the 15th of December. And just for information, Madam Chair, the report is still currently on our website on www.tulebusiness.za. The report, the SJN initiative was really to look into the process, nature, and extent of racial discrimination and lack of transformation in our structure since unification 10 years ago. CSA really supported the initiative because we basically believed in its importance, and a significant amount of money and resources were shared to be able to enable the ombudsman to finalize its report. The ombudsman report itself has explained that he made a number of findings, but all those findings were mostly tentative. And he did recommend that, where necessary, further formal processes be initiated to get to finally terminate. Madam Chair, the report itself is quite detailed. I'm not sure if you have had an opportunity to go through it. So currently, the board is going through the report, and it has been shared with a number of committees. The task for the different committees to come up with recommendations on how we can, as an organization, implement the report. Those will obviously be shared with the, it will be consolidated by the board, and the CSA's response to the report itself will be shared with the general public and all the relevant stakeholders, hopefully by the end of this month. What we have done with the report that we've shared with the committee, Madam Chair, was to actually list the findings and recommendations in the report itself and share it is quite a number of findings, and based purely on time that has been allocated, we feel that maybe the last two slides are more relevant or important because those actually detail of what CSA plans to do with the findings. But the findings and the recommendations were basically structured a lot of things, like one of them was releasing the grievance procedures. There were findings or recommendations on women's status, exclusionary practices, being language and traveling and accommodation. There were a number of findings on salaries and contractual disparities, access to transportation, accusations of theft against one of our former players, lack of access to paying opportunities, racial slurs. There were a number of findings on those. There were findings on black players being forced to carry bags. There were findings on match fixing, governance, and really recommendations from clubs, coaches, and others within the ecosystem. There were also findings on lack of investment in transformation and development, especially at our members. Public schools involvement in cricket, lack of facilities in rural areas and townships. Findings on Kaya Zondo matter, where he was not given an opportunity to play. There were findings on a number of our members in the Northwest and Free State on accommodation. There were findings on Mr. Telemarcus. on target olegile and lack of playing opportunities. Further findings on our members again, this time it's been created in Northern Cricket Union. The findings on Mr. Dan Smith, appointment, and his contract agreement. Also on Mr. Mark Boucher's appointment. There were findings or recommendations on Mr. Thabang Mure, the former CEO of CSA. Findings on match fixing, the match fees, and really lack of same opportunity. Further to that, the ombudsman had made some concluding remarks, you know, on how we can actually take this process forward. One of the major ones was the one that I highlighted earlier, that a lot of those findings were tentative. So he did recommend, where necessary, that CSA actually institute formal processes to get to finality on those. But he also made a recommendation that CSA should look into creating a permanent Office of the Transformation Ombudsman. Based on that, Madam Chair, as I said, the board is currently obviously going through the report itself. But having said that, CSA wholeheartedly agreed with a number of findings that came out from the ombudsman, specifically where he did mention that, you know, the current challenges facing cricket are really a complex interaction of multiple factors, stemming from the history of this country and consequent socio-economic factors that trigger today. And the board really, really echoed those sentiments. But it is also quite important to know that those findings, they were not really surprising to the organization, but they did definitely concern a number of things that we were aware of. And some of the things that actually came out were obviously quite shocking in their nature. But they are currently being integrated, because we don't want to deal with SJN on its own. We want to integrate it into the whole strategic plan for the company, which is currently being developed and being discussed with multiple stakeholders within the ecosystem. Again, this basically will go into our key strategic pillars, which is really about access, inclusivity, and excellence. As I said, the report did identify a number of specific cases, especially discriminatory ones, which we as CSA, which will obviously enable us as CSA and our members to take further actions on. Madam Chair, it is quite important to highlight that while a lot of those incidents that were highlighted in the report are historic, where possible and appropriate, CSA and its members will take necessary remedial action and disciplinary actions on the matter. But further to that, we do understand that to avoid another SJN in 5 years, we need to understand what were those structural deficiencies in the system that made this some really shocking findings to come to light. So we do plan to actually make sure that we implement those structural improvements to avoid having an SJN again in 5 years' time. I did highlight earlier, Chair, Madam Chair, when I started, that the board has allocated a number of these things and findings to different subcommittees, which are currently busy going through the findings and coming up with recommendations. The governance issues will obviously be dealt with by the Board of Risk and Governance Committee. The women's cricket issues will be dealt with by the Nominations Committee, but again, social audit and risk governance, but all the other committees as well. There were a number of issues on remuneration, fair remuneration, selection policies. Our trade committee is going through those. Allegations of racial and racism and racial slurs. Our social and ethics committee is going through those. Transformation and development programs. Our transformation committee is going through those. The issue about cricket facilities and infrastructure. Our transformation committee and pipeline committee are going through those. Human resources issues, including the grievance procedures and the like, our HR committee is going through those. And the establishment of a permanent ombudsman. Our transformation committee and our social and ethics committee are currently debating that issue. So, Chair, in a nutshell, this is really where we plan to take this matter forward. And as highlighted, as an organization, we really, really take this very seriously. And we do plan to engage after all these committees have finalized the report. They will be consolidated, and the board will basically engage with all our stakeholders and share a more substantive response with the general public. Chair, thank you.
Thank you. President.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's that both the chairperson of the board as well as the interim CEO has given us a detailed presentation, and I'm sure there will be many questions that will stem from that. And I'll hand back to you, Chair, to direct us on how we will take this thing forward.
Honourable members, anything that is outstanding that you can flight in here?
No, Madam Chair.
Yeah, I wanted you to take it off in order that I must now give members to interact with the presentations. Honourable members, I'm taking this opportunity to thank the leadership of the department, the president, with his entourage to give us this report. Now, this is the chance that I'm giving to the honorable members to engage with the report and to ask and to advise. Now I'm giving to Honorable Mshongo, Honorable Mashingosi, Honorable Boni, Honorable Rachel Adams, in that order, Honorable Malomani. To you, Honorable Mshongo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I concur with your sentiments. We welcome the presentation, both for the department and from the CSA. Chairperson, I'm not going to tolerate racism in all sporting codes, not only in cricket. In all sporting codes, I'm not going to tolerate racism. I think that is my opening remarks, not only cricket, but all sporting codes. Chair, I wanted to find out exactly when are we going to have all the sporting codes adhering to transformation or so-called project? When are we going to have all this public participation or social justice to all these different sporting codes, not only to cricket South Africa? I think this question is directed to the minister. Minister, is it true that racism affects all sporting codes, or is it only affecting cricket? And then when are we going to embark in a campaign that will make sure that transformation takes place in South Africa in different sporting codes, not only in cricket? Directly to the leadership of CSA, when are all these ETA or findings are going to be implemented, the actual ETA dates? I can see the plan, it's detailed, but we needed to know exactly when are we going to get the actual findings or the actual implementation. Chairperson, sports is one of the critical, vital factors. School sports is one of the vital factors, especially on this bigger problem of transformation. I think there's a lack thereof of grassroots sports, school sports. I think that must be noted by the minister. Minister, this measurement of EPG, I think the DG has stated clearly this one was in 2019. For the past, roughly in my memory, plus minus 9 years, this barometer is not working. We did not see this coming. In all this, I think we have to identify if plus minus 5, if not 6, sporting codes. Like this EPG, to me, it's not working. Numbers don't lie, and I think you'll see for yourself. What action will the minister take against all these federations who refuse in the real transformation? Real transformation, not paper, talk shows, public hearing, lack of implementation. Minister, will you consider that all sporting codes like soccer, football, all these sporting codes, when are we going to have a majority of independent boards on those sporting codes, even the executive boards as we've seen? And it's shocking to see that we have only two women in the leadership of cricket. It's shocking. And you call that transformation. unless I don't understand. It is really shocking. We have one woman in the Independent, one woman. Is that transformation? Maybe I must go to my dictionary and understand exactly what is transformation. And especially, you can see that numbers don't lie. Chairperson, I wanted to find out from the leadership of CSA. The CEO's position has been vacant for some time, since December 2019. We have been an acting CEO. When are they going to advertise? Was it advertised? When are they going to appoint? And when is the recruitment process going to take place? If they have shortlisted, who are those members or person who are interested to participate in this position as CEO? I wanted to find out who's the preferred candidate. Was Graham Smith part of the process or part of the candidate? If yes, who is the preferred candidate? Chairperson, for the past roughly 28, 27 years, we've been having this talk show, Transformation. Given the present presentation, we cannot see any difference. Yes, there's a movement that you can say there's a movement, but that movement is not saying anything. They were just telling us that they're going to play 2 days from now, Saturday, Sunday. Who's the coach? Who's the management team? I think under the leadership, the interim board appointed by the minister saw this irregularity around the appointment of Smith and Boucher, yet reaffirmed their appointment. Shocking. It is really shocking that the interim team saw it coming. If the EPG was really working, Minister, I think these things, we're going to see them coming and then we're going to come up with a solution to them. One of the things that I wanted to ask, Minister, and directly to you, I think it's wrong for us to say school sports is working. I can put it to you that it's not working. Check the cricket professionals. They don't come from grassroots elokshin in rural areas. We get all these players from this so-called Module C schools. We don't have them in Soweto. The last person that I know that I went to school with, Ugodfrey Toyana, he was from Orlando High, and only him was chosen because he participated outside, not because they chosen because of Orlando High School, Utoyana, the coach. Now I'm saying to you, Minister, this issue of school sports, if we're not going to make sure that we implement it, especially in black schools, township schools, that we earmark, we develop young people that will participate, especially in different sporting codes, that will be professional at a later stage. Chair, I don't want to waste time. My last question, I think there's allegations of racism and discrimination which are happening in the CSA. How long are we going to make sure we remain behind them that we address those issues? Because I can see that the report is detailed, but I don't see the outcome. I think there's a lack of the outcome with the report. The outcome is so important. I wanted last question, Chair. Sorry, Chair. How many township schools or township that are functional with cricket grounds? Can I get the number? Rural areas or Ekaselokshini, how many townships which have functional cricket grounds? Chair, I'll get the second job. I know that you've noted my question. I have several questions. I'll come back next time.
Okay, Honorable Mshongo, thank you. Honorable Mashengosi.
I would also would love to welcome the presentation of the new board, Cricket South Africa, and also I'd love to greet the minister, DG, and everyone that is coming with us, and our colleagues. And I would love also to say to agree with you, Chairperson, that we must say condolences to Dumila Matez. Yes, he when he came in, because at that time the SADC was more circumscribed, and he had to come up with a quarter that was Americanized, like left jab, right jab, win, and we're fancy. May his soul rest in peace. Can I turn off my video? Thank you. Chairperson, ever since we have been having Cricket South Africa in this Sikh parliament, it has been about the arrogance and some of its controllers have a racist attitude, and it's the white manager towards black players. Some even singing derogatory songs about their Athens colleagues. Look, Chairperson, it has all been happening. And meanwhile, some of these black players, they were suspended, they never got tamed, they were kicked out of the cricket because of the scandals that were created for them. Look, these the board members that I hope they don't have anything to do with cricket right now. Some of these managers have been openly disregarding and openly undermining the Minister of Sport and Culture. I don't think we need to have these people. I'd like to say to Mama Ona Bele that the Transformation Committee could be rendered useless if it was dragged for a long time before we start to see this transformation. But it's a problem that we are seeing in our sporting coaches, as our colleagues have been saying. Now, my question is, what is the new board saying about the black players who are humiliated and suspended? Where are they going to be paid, if at all they are going to be paid, for all the trauma and the frustration that they had to go through, all because they were black? Is the new board having plans to change the race, that racist attitude of supremacist, way of talking down to black players? And I hope this new board is not just for the looks. Well, it looks black. And I hope that they have the power and the gift to bite. And Chairperson, I'll stop from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mufungose. I like this. It's too bad. Honorable Boni.
Good morning, Chairperson. Let me also take this opportunity to thank to greet the minister and members from the Cricket SA and all members of the committee present here today. Chair, let me start with the presentation by Mr. Naidu, particularly on the board composition. I've looked at the faces on that committee, and one realizes that in a way we talk transformation, many of us think transformation is just about black and white. But I think transformation goes as far as gender relations is concerned. The fact that they only have two women in the committee, and even placing them there at the end of the list, both of them, the independent and the non-executive women are far right there in the corner. So I think transformation, we need to see it also on the basis of gender and make sure that as we say we are transforming, the board should also lead in showing that particular seriousness and showing that they are really committed to transformation as far as they will want to transform the players and everybody, the staff and everything, but the board composition remains a concern. Going forward, Chairperson, going to the SJN report, particularly around the findings and recommendations by Advocate Msebenzi. The report was presented by Mr. Mufeki. I think the advocate has really, really, in his findings, came up with a lot of issues that are in concern. Anyone who would read this report and picking up those issues will see that there is a serious, serious problem in Cricket SA. And it is up to the board and everybody involved in the Cricket SA to make sure that those findings and the recommendations in particular are really taken serious. Are really taken serious, and there needs to be change, and making sure that it doesn't go back to the same standard or way where they used to be before the findings were made. So I think it raises a lot of issues that need serious attention, and implementation of this particular recommendation will only assist moving forward and making sure that there's real transformation and there's non-racialism and everybody is included in cricket issues of playing, whether it be the players and so on. Around the key pillars, what I like there, it talks to, they've got, they've identified key pillars that talks to access, inclusivity, and excellence. If we say access, somewhere in the report it talks to, there's this thing that when they identify black people from particular schools to go and play, they are taken maybe one or two from a township school and put to play with to a school where the previously Model C schools and in the main boys' schools. So I think access talks to township schools where we raise this awareness and make children in those particular schools to be interested in cricket. And as much as we talk about women cricket, it should not be just about boys. Women or young girls also at a particular in schools, in the public schools, in the township, must also be made to have interest from a very young age in cricket and make sure that as they excel and grow, they are able to be included and they excel in what the game of cricket as well. Unlike taking them when they are much older and becomes a problem. The other thing that I pick up about the report, particularly the last slide, it talks to women cricket and it says women to have a women, the women cricket to have a women committee. It is a good thing that we're talking about women cricket. But it will be a problem when we talk women cricket and we say it's a woman thing. And we leave them there, let them have their women committee, let them deal with their own issues. And it will give a reflection that we consider women cricket or women's sport as a secondary rather than a primary, and making sure that they also get, as we talk cricket when men are involved, it talks to mainstreaming. And making sure that the issue that affects male cricket will be dealt with equally with the issues affecting women cricket. So it shouldn't be like the second thing there, putting them there in the corner, let them have their own show, and they will sort themselves out. So I think it needs not to be taken as a secondary platform on cricket, because when you talk cricket, when they go and play, whether it's male or female, we want to see a team that is having all the support by all structures, not to say it's a women's thing, let women go and let women support them, but it will need everybody involved in cricket to support the women's cricket. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Boni. The next member is Honourable Rachel Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to all protocol observers. Let me also thank the presentation that was granted to us. Chairperson, I did have a few questions. My first question, I noted that there was financial support from DSEC. 4 million rand. What is the guarantee that Cricket South Africa will stick to the prioritized program? And are there no financial internal control system at Cricket South Africa to detect the overpayment and fruitless expenditure Chairperson, and then how will Cricket South Africa ensure that race, I'm covered by that one. How will the board and management ensure stability at Cricket South Africa during the disciplinary action being taken against the director and head coach of the men's team? When will the disciplinary be concluded? My last one, with all the allegations of racial discrimination happening at Cricket South Africa, how will the board ensure that the country remains united behind the national team and the division within do not create fans in the general public? I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Adam. The next Honorable Member is Honorable Malomani.
Comrade boy, that little one supposed to be at school. Honorable Maloman. This thing of network. When she is on, there she is. Yes.
My apology, Chair. I've got a challenge of network, but I think maybe there are other things maybe I didn't hear them clearly, but let me apologize first. Let me also greet the
show your face. Leadership.
Okay.
Show your face.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, we will all see you. Yeah, take it off.
Thank you.
Yeah, take it off.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Let me first greet our lovely minister, our honorable colleagues in the portfolio committee, our staff, the management from the department, and also the board members from.
Unmuted here. Maybe it's herself by mistake. Somebody must help.
To say we need to show.
Can you start again? You were muted. Can you start again?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
What I want to say is also to emphasize on the issue to say when it comes to the issue of racism, we cannot tolerate on that one. But I believe that the newly elected board members, even though I'm also having the similar view on the issue of their leadership, that the women in leadership is still a challenge. But also we can see that in their report is that in terms of women in cricket, there are still challenges. But because there are few recommendations or issues that they want to implement, I think maybe if they can do that quickly so that the women are also interested. And on the issue of their acting CEO, I just want to find out when are they appointing a full-time CEO than the acting one. And the other issue that I want to speak about is about the issue of infrastructure to say, you know, each and everything comes to the issue of infrastructure, especially when it comes to the rural, to the deep rural areas. We don't see kids from the schools playing cricket. We really appreciate if the new board can start to emphasize on the school sports that maybe there are facilities in the schools that maybe they can make sure that our kids that they start this thing or the issue of playing cricket on the schools. Because if you can check in the rural or even the teams, those who are playing cricket, they're not from, many of them, they're not from rural schools, they are from these elite schools. So that's the other view that I'm having to say. Can we try in the issue of school sports so that, especially when it comes to the deep rural, where I'm staying in Thabachweu, in Mpumalanga, I never seen a cricket in the deep rural. When you go to Boshabegi, Sabosabi, there's no cricket that is played this side. I would really appreciate if that can be taken into consideration in this province, that there are deep rural areas that also need to play this kind of sport. Also, I just want to ask who to say, how will the Cricket SA ensure that race relations, acceptance and tolerance is improved within each national team? And the other thing that I want to check on the issue of the report, are there any views from them as Cricket SA that there are any, is there anyone that they can think that they will challenge the report, or is there anyone who has already challenged the report? And if there is, how will...
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We didn't hear your last words because you were just muted. Let me take this opportunity to thank Honorable Malomane and then give the chance to Honorable Veronica van Dijk. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you also for the presentation. The concluding remarks by the Transformation Ombudsman were that there was no process in place for testing the submissions made to the Office of the OTO. Therefore, the process has merely raised issues and the recommendations and findings contained in the text of the report are merely tentative. Further, that the Office of the OTO advised that City of South Africa take on board and establish a process that will require or inquire the grievances from all parties involved and reach appropriate conclusions. These concluding remarks to me are very concerning, not only that after almost 30 years into democracy, we still need to do these types of reporting at high cost, but how can fair true reflection and fair process if the OTO clearly says that it is one-sided? Further with this in mind, how can disciplinary steps be considered when the report advised that City South Africa take on board and establish a process that will inquire the grievances from all parties involved? I can just get clarity on that. I want to know what is the total cost implication of this report, because it was extended from 4 to 6 months, and what is the cost projection for the further investigation for hearings? And how will Cricket South Africa avoid high levels of cost that might occur when the report is challenged? The investigation also pointed out that Cricket South Africa actually is making efforts to provide cricket facilities in remote areas of South Africa to great or to create opportunities for the disadvantaged to enjoy the game. They actually spend millions of rands on development programs and regional performance centers. But that these interventions use very little output, as there are no mechanisms in place to maintain such facilities. And what mechanisms has the investigation found should be put in place and whose responsibility is it? And clearly, it cannot be only Cricket South Africa's problem. What is the department doing in terms of lack of infrastructure within townships? I want to agree with Honorable Mshongo and the special department provide us the committee with a report for province on what government has done to create an environment for transformation in cricket on grassroots level. We want to know how much are invested in the provision and maintenance of basic cricket infrastructure like stadiums in rural areas and townships of South Africa's first province. because this is the very first step to reaching one of the key transformation goals of equal access to teachers for all people. Also, on school cricket, according to the ECG transformation report, out of 25,000 schools in the country, less than 10%, that is only 250, participated in sport. And they're citing the lack of cricket in schools was also a problem that was transformation. For me, this is an indication that government is also failing school development and transformation at grassroots level. And I want to know whether there's an MOI in place with the Department of Education and what effort has been put in place to address the lack of access to opportunities for cricket in township. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Van Dijk. The next Honourable Member is Honourable Dennis Joseph.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I welcome the report. I would like to start off by saying I agree with the Ministry that there should be no compromise on transformation, and where the leadership in sport fails, that the Ministry and the Department must step in. Of course, we are here to carry out the mandate of a democratic South Africa, and that will include the Department, the government, and all sports clubs. And we should not worried about intimidation by previous sports persons or people with money who want to dictate what must happen here in this process. So I support the Minister that sports must win, cricket must win, all sports must win, and that is the role of the new leadership. I also would like to know on that comment on the financial report, the 4 million, as my previous colleagues have asked, the girls and women's program and the cricket arts program. I think we need a breakdown of that plan so that we can get confidence and support the plan that must be put in place. I also want to support you, Chairperson, on congratulating our teams that have done well. But of course, there's cricket in the boardroom and cricket on the field. And I think we are dealing with both of these situations. But there's a comment made on the Fiduci report about the review of the policies to strengthen the control. Now, I want to ask, at the time when this Graham Smith was appointed, Mapalke was appointed, and there was irregularities going off the rules that were there. Who were in charge there? I think the leadership has failed us, Chairperson. The leadership at the time there has failed us, has failed the country to allow these things to happen. And therefore, I appreciate the comment that was made in the report that the review of the policies to strengthen control and adherence to that is very important. So this is my view, Chairperson, the findings, recommendations, all that was said is important. And we must allow, as the Minister said, without interference, Cricket South Africa to do a corrective action and a corrective plan so that we stop if there's any sign of racism, discrimination, unfair play, favoritism, nepotism, whatever is still there in any sport coach. This is our responsibility to have oversight to build a new nation of equality and equal opportunity in the sports. I also want to, Chairperson, in closing, want to say this proposal of a permanent ombudsman in the office should actually, the department must consider having an independent body like this for all sports clubs. I don't want cricket people to complain to cricket and soccer to complain to soccer because there's intimidation afterwards and victimization. So we should consider having this body for all sports codes, wherever there's discrimination of any kind, that the players, the administrators must have to feel free to report to such a body. Chairperson, in closing, I want to say that I think Graham Smith even went so far to ask for an independent contract with his own terms. And I think he was honestly a bad example to everyone else down the line, setting a bad example. But the board and the leadership allowed things to happen at that level. So my question, last question, Chairperson, what rules, what agreements are in place now, put in place by Cricket South Africa? Of course, we need to protect the team and the management that is currently on tour and making sure that we get the best off the field. But the leadership in Cricket South Africa must ensure that things are put in place, processes are put in place for the corrective action to take place. And then lastly, I want the Minister and the Department to support Cricket South Africa with the finding and the recommendations and any action plan in the report that may be legally challenged. Because we can hear the tone of the people out there who are not happy that transformation is being exposed, or the fail of transformation is being exposed, and some people are not happy and they will legally challenge the process. So I want to suggest that we, the department and the ministry, support this process so that we can put an end to racial experience and discrimination. I feel that, Chairperson, that this committee today are dealing with a very important part of our nation building and taking our country forward, as the Minister said, and we must support the Department and the Minister and Cricket South Africa to independently do their work and take South Africa forward. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Denis. Now the next honourable member is Honourable Zondi.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Greetings to Honourable Minister, Department yakhe yonke, Cricket South Africa leadership. Chair, uboni uyangihlekisa ukuthi amakhosikazi abekwe le egcineni. Chair, we welcome the report. We welcome the new leadership, the interim board of Cricket South Africa. And we also welcome the presentation and the report of SJN that we have been waiting for. Chair, I would like the minister to respond to all sports codes, but I don't think he will have enough time to do that. Maybe it can take more than a day to answer to all sporting codes questions. That is why today we invited the minister to respond to Cricket South Africa. Maybe sometimes getting it and I mustn't be the same turn which I attend with the work, I must post cost. I will confine myself, Chair, who Cricket South Africa. My input will be there. I have only two questions, but I would like to start by saying we are unapologetic in support of the minister's initiatives that pursue transformation and eliminate all racial tendencies in sports. The minister has been outlined in all the sporting codes that the portfolio committee has invited him to deal with. So that is why I'm saying in all initiatives, because we are observing, we acknowledge the initiatives, Honourable Minister, on the transformation that we are dealing with. But Cricket South Africa has so many issues. We have indicated in the previous meeting, and you know. And that is why I think the initiative of the interim board, the new interim board, was one of the interventions of the minister and the department, just to deal with the issues in Cricket South Africa, as raised by honourable members in different meetings. It's not the first, but hopefully it's not the last, because transformation is a long way. But also, Chair, we want to say we demand stability. We demand stability in cricket while in pursuit of transformation. And we know your good leadership, Honourable Minister, and the new board would help us do that. And also the development that is informed by transformational agenda and nation building, those initiatives we demand them, and you have presented them to us, Minister, and we acknowledge them, and we want you to continue with them, because South Africa is waiting to see the change, and these initiatives are helping us. Chair, we understand that the new board will not deal with this report abruptly or quickly, because it might not yield the results that we waiting for. But on the recommendations and the way forward, they outline the plan and the committees they have set up to deal with different aspects of this report. We will wait for this, as this committee, we wait for them to come back and deal with the how part, or how have they dealt with the each and every part of the recommendations as they have outlined. But I like the way they are dealing with them, because they are not saying, they are not listing all of them and say just one a committee or unit will deal with them. If they are appointing different committees to deal with a different issue that has been raised as recommendation, I think that is the only way that will take that will deal with these matters at a very short space of time, rather than expecting them to deal with them, which will take maybe 12 months or years in dealing with all of them, if there is one body. But if they have splitted the responsibilities, it would help them to deal with them. Mhlambe okwethu ukubuka in the next coming months, how are they dealing with each and every recommendation? Mabebuya bazositshela ukuthi badila kanjani nani. Si amehlo siwabukile si South Africa, si committee, not only the committee, but South Africa yonke ifuna ukwazi ukuthi lokhu akade kwenza ku-Cricket South Africa, i-department. Interim board, the new interim board and department, how are they dealing with them? The last question, Chair, that I would like to ask is the appointment of Mark Boucher. I think the two honorable members asked them, but I was not covered. Yes, the question has been asked. I just wanted to know whether the appointment of Mark Boucher happened after the interim board has received the SJNN report, or he was appointed before. Was it before the appointment, his appointment happened after they have received the report? If it happened before the appointment, one would ask, why did you continue appointing while he's implicated in the report? But if it happened after the report has been issued, then one would understand, and that the new interim board only got some of the issues while many things has happened. But I just want that, Chair, and we acknowledge that the hearing is underway. We'll wait again on the outcome of the hearing, not on his appointment, but on the allegations that is leveled against him, even if he is appointed and he's on duty on behalf of the panel. Chair, I think over my Janami is on my lap.
No, I will stop right there, because I do not want to repeat a lot of questions that the honourable members have already said. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, are you there?
I'm sorry, Honorable Sibisi, it was myself that is muted, I don't know why. Honorable Sibisi. We can't hear you. What is going on? Yes, we are good, but your voice is too low.
Yes, I can hear, but your voice is quite low. My apologies, Chair.
Let me take this opportunity to welcome the report and also join all other colleagues.
Memeza.
Never.
Hey, one low. Back more.
Who is that? You say you must shout. Use your rally voice.
Yes.
What? What should you do to sustain? To see that from 2017?
Please switch off your video. Switch off your video.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I will ask Mr. Sibisi to write down his question on the chat or to forward it to me.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Zo. Honorable members, I've seen 9 colleagues, members of the committee, ask questions. And as chairperson, I don't want to repeat the questions because 9 members are put most important questions. Let me take this opportunity to thank the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. The intervention that we have done, the department through the minister, to the ministry of this department. When, as this committee, we've seen the Black Lives Matter most, when, as this committee, we're getting reports forwarding to the committee, to the media, on how things are happening in the cricket South Africa. We can mention all, your Kaya Zondi replaced by a white man. We don't know what action was taken then, or do we still going to do anything as the new board. The Mr. De Villiers, we don't know the action as well speaking, what action was done by what he was doing. The question of Mr. Tsolekile, we do get in this report that you wrongly and unfairly discriminated. We don't know what is that, the consequences of that. The infighting in Eastern Cape, we don't know how are you going to handle that, because we want to get to know what in interventions and what is it now, what is going on. It's worse with this question of extension of Mr. Bauta, but still within the cricket. I don't know why he is now in there, given special leave, and then how he was appointed still in existence. Coming to this, Mr. Smith, the irregular appointment of Mr. Smith, we are hoping that we are going to look at on that. We are raising these things because they did come to our committee. This problem of racism, this problem of transformation, it's glaring. It's mostly is there in each sporting code, but with Cricket South Africa, we are hoping that those who were thinking that you must have this CGN and in this independent body, you are going to do, I don't know whether it's going to be miracles, but you are faced with a huge animal which is in your house. You are hoping that as a new board, you suppose to do not miracles, but you must do what is expected by us as this committee and the country at large. You know, when even this question of the language that must be used by cricket players, so your task is huge, saying that, but the department that did say that all is not well, we are saying that each department must assist you. You must fast track the way forward. You must have time frames put into our department in order that even our good self must know that in your way forward, you have put time frames, not openly ended, but we know that you are having a huge task. This thing of racism, this thing of a transformation, most of us, we went through that during the days of apartheid, that we're not having opportunities to be just South Africans, in order that we must do sport freely. Now, when I was congratulating on behalf of our committee, Senegal, did you see the masses that they were happy when their team is winning? It's black and white, and it's just masses. We wish that when a cricket is playing, when we're seeing a cricket, we must not see a cricket with the eyes of black and white. We must see players that are playing for this country, irrespective of color, but we cannot afford to have a transformation without a gender issue. You know, this question of a gender, it's the most important thing you are coming to each department of the government, we will be seeing gender violence, we'll be seeing rape, we'll be seeing all sorts of evil things happening in when you're coming to women. But we don't want to say women, we want to use the gender issue. We love that, we are hoping that all what is outstanding, as this committee, in next meeting, you will share with our department. I'm seeing that no other member that entertained or raised question on the letters that recently, on the 31st of January, that we got some responses out of the good work that the Funzi report has done. Now, we are the committee who's doing the oversight. There are things that are not supposed to be done by us as a committee, but immediately that the queries will forward this letter, honorable members, that I've said it must be circulated to all members, because it's a report of Funzi report, and if now it's coming to the committee, the only thing is to refer it to our department, in order that department must take it with the Cricket South Africa, in order that as a committee we must get a full report. As you have tabled the report, you were saying that you are still waiting those who want to challenge the decision of the Funzi, and they will be challenged to you, Cricket South Africa, and the department will be part of that. I'm tabling this, that we did get the emails of people who want us to intervene, but we didn't forward to you as a department. I wanted that the first preference must go to the members, in order that I must not hide anything which is coming to this portfolio committee. But when I was reading, I didn't consult with other members. I was seeing that the new board, the department, they can handle this, as you were presenting, saying that you are looking to those who can challenge the Funzi report, because it's not your report, in order that those who are querying the findings, they must have chance of coming and present what they are, part of the question of transformation, the question of racist attitude in Cricket South Africa. It doesn't belong to this country. It doesn't belong to this committee. We are looking at you, that we'll be supporting you, but won't support you if you just relax, not fighting this devil of transformation. I thank you, honorable members, and our department, and the Cricket South Africa, all the leadership who are in this platform. Our hearts are bleeding about the, since 1994, that was still having serious problems of racism in Cricket South Africa, let alone about the transformation. This EPG, something I'm suspecting, as this committee will call a day for our department to come and take us through, because we want to get information for all sporting codes, but today we are talking about cricket. There are other culprits, but we are seeing that cricket South Africa is the worst in connection with the racism and the transformation. There are in other codes, but the alarm that it is there, that former players that were ill-treated, we don't know how, when we were having a reconciliation, and I don't know what about these former players, that what can we do as the government of South Africa, because kukuhlukumezeka kwabantu that they are loving, loving South Africans who loved mostly sport, and then when they get in this terrain, they were all having those ill treatment from South Africans, calling them South Africans, but they don't want to get away with the racism. I thank you. I'm sorry to take you too long. This thing of transformation and racism is one of the things that this committee, all of us is this committee, but we don't want to say that. Thank you for the work that so far the department together with the Funzi, the SGN that are doing. Keep it up, the good work. We'll monitor, put the time frames in your way forward. We'll call you in order that we must see changing attitudes in these people, call them white, because we don't want to call people black and white. We want to call sport women and sport men in South Africa. But we cannot not avoid to say those white elements, not all of them, the few that they are doing these bad things in our country, in our sport fraternity. We cannot, we're saying no, no, no to black lives. Black lives matter most to us. I thank you. Can I give the Cricket South Africa, firstly, the department will come at the end to take us to this question which was raised about 9 members of the committee. I was just trying also to put my views, so which means 10 members of this committee today participated in this important day. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Yes, President.
First of all, allow me to just echo a few words before I ask the Chairman of the Board and the other members to respond to the various questions. First of all, I must state that discrimination, not only racial, but any discrimination is unacceptable within CSA, and we accept our failures and where we have failed in the past. But we must always look to correct those ills that have happened. The new system actually clearly makes us all mutually accountable to one another, and it has a very dedicated focused oversight within cricket specifically. In order for us to be and to ensure that transformation becomes enshrined in our organization, you will note in our presentation, being included in all facets of our business. This is to ensure that our decisions are not only decisive, but deliberate. So I think that is very important to note. And I will ask the chairman of the board and the other members to actually deal with the questions from the various honorable members of this committee, especially Mslango, Zondo, and Rachel Adams, and all the other members. So I'll ask Lawson if you can come in and deal with those very specific questions, as well as Mudatamini and Puleti, that were your various oversight is. And I'll ask you to please handle that to me, Lawson.
Thank you, Rian. Madam Chair, with your permission, may I continue?
Yes, yes, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, let me start by reiterating the point that Rian has just made, and I think it's something that has come through all of the comments and questions from the various members of the committee, is that racism has no place in cricket, just in the same way that racism has no place in our society. And I think we must acknowledge that cricket and sport are but microcosms of our society, and we have a broader challenge to eliminate racism from our society at large, and that our society at large also has a long way to go in affecting the kind of transformation in our society that we wish to see. And that's a commitment that runs through the five-year strategic plan that CSA has put in place, that transformation runs through that that strategy through all facets of the game, whether it's, as I said earlier, from an administrative point of view, a governance point of view, and a playing point of view. Before I deal with the specific questions, I just want to clarify one thing that Honourable Zondin raised. Just to clarify that this board is not an interim board. It was a board that was appointed in June of last year in terms of the new memorandum of incorporation that has been approved for Cricket South Africa, and it is a board that will be in office for a period of 3 years in terms of that MOI. Madam Chair, to deal with the specific question, you know, there was a question about, you know, our implementation plan with respect to the SGA and finance. And I think Puletsi Moseki dealt with that in the presentation, is how the board is dealing with that. We hope to have a consolidated view from all of the committees, consolidated by the board at the end of this month, which we will then share with relevant stakeholders and the public at large. And that it will be a detailed implementation plan as part of our five-year strategic plan, with timeframes, with targets, with KPIs, and with accountability mechanisms put in place. So we want to ensure that we're not paying lip service to this process. We've been very careful not to provide a detailed response to the SJM report, but to take a broader, considered, and holistic view. And how do we incorporate the lessons from that SJM report into our five-year strategy? So that will certainly be a part of the consolidated response when it comes. Madam Chair, we join with the members of this committee in expressing our condolences on the recent passing of Dumile Mateza. CSA did in fact issue a statement last week on his passing, and I would just like to add that we as a cricket family have lost a dear friend, and we also acknowledge the input that Bra Dumile had made to the SJM right at the start of the hearing in July last year. You know, Madam Chair, there was a question about black players being suspended and without pay. I'm going to defer that to the CEO. I'm not aware of any black players having been unfairly suspended without pay. And as I said earlier, racism has no place in our sport, and we will not tolerate it at all. In respect of the composition of the board, which was raised by Honorable Marekwa, the board composition, unfortunately, we only have two members, two women members on the board. And that is something that cannot be rectified by the board itself, because the manner of appointment and election of board members is set out in that memorandum of incorporation. But what we are committed to doing as a board is to appoint independent non-executive directors to some of our subcommittees. That's where we have the discretion to make additional appointments, and that is a matter that we are giving due attention to at this point in time. it might be useful and also at this point to deal with the issue of the establishment of a women's cricket committee, and this would Tambi can add to this when I'm done. But that is done in an attempt to mainstream cricket issues with cricket South Africa, not to compartmentalize those issues. Transformation in cricket must of necessity include the involvement of girls and women at all levels of the game, and that is something that we take very, very seriously. In terms of the questions around the director of cricket and the head coach of the men's team, Graham Smith and Mark Boucher, let me say, and again my colleagues can add to this, particularly Mr. Maseki, is that the director of cricket and the head coach were appointed in December of 2019 under the previous board of Cricket South Africa, and that even predated the appointment of the interim board. And it was, as somebody else asked, it was not done subsequent to the receipt of the report of the SJN process. So that was done, as I say, in December 2019. It is clear from the report of Advocate Ntobeza that there were irregularities in those processes. But I think the point that is also made in the report is that those appointments were subsequently endorsed and ratified by the then Board of Cricket South Africa. So our hands are tied in terms of those processes because they were formally ratified by the board that existed at that point in time. Related issues to that was around the time frames for the disciplinary hearing regarding Mark Boucher. As you will be aware, we received this report on the 10th of December. By the 20th of December, the board had met and decided to act on the tentative findings in the SJN report, and that appropriate action would be taken in respect of the head coach. Those charges were formulated in consultation with our legal team and given to Mr. Boucher approximately 2 weeks ago. We've appointed an independent chairperson of that process, Advocate Terry Motau, senior counsel. So the running of that disciplinary process now sits in the hands of Advocate Motau, and he has already determined at the pre-hearing meeting that the disciplinary inquiry will take place from the 16th to the 20th of May this year. And so that's how that matter is being dealt with. There was a question about whether there's likely to be a challenge to the SJN report. Certainly there's been media speculation about that, but I can assure the committee that we have received no formal notification by any party of any challenge to that report. And if there is such a challenge, in due course, we will deal with it when that arises. Veronica van Wyk raised the issue of the concluding remarks in the SJN report regarding the tentative nature of the findings. And that is precisely while we have had to institute more formal processes in relation to Mark Boucher to ensure that we can receive proper finality on these serious allegations of racism that have been leveled against him, and that we will follow a due process at all times in dealing with these issues. Madam Chair, you also raised issues around various other players, Kaya Zondo, Edith Villiers, Thomas Olekile, and others, as well as issues or findings relating to some of our affiliates. Those are matters that are still under consideration by the board and will form part of the comprehensive consolidated report that we will provide in due course. But I should also say at this point where affiliates of Cricket South Africa have been implicated in the report, these are autonomous structures of Cricket South Africa. They will have to take responsibility for dealing thing would be the infringement that may have occurred within their affiliate and amongst their members. But that is a matter that we will have, as a Board of Cricket South Africa, will maintain oversight over, but we will not be able to intervene directly. I thought it also important to emphasize to the committee that as a Board of Cricket South Africa, we've had several engagements with the team, both with the players and with the team management, and that we have established a process whereby myself and Advocate Badlander, who I think might have joined us now, the lead independent director, have regular communication with the captains of both the test team and the white ball team. And they are kept fully in the loop on matters that the board discusses that are relevant to the team environment. So we have sought to ensure that there is a flow of information and open communication channel with the team, including the team manager as well. Madam Chair, I think there were several questions about clubs and taking cricket as a grassroots, to a grassroots level. This is obviously a challenge that is beyond solution by Cricket South Africa alone. We've already engaged in discussions with the Minister and the Department as to how we can work together in that regard to address those fundamental challenges. Because, as I said right at the beginning, the pillar of access in our strategic plan is aimed directly at ensuring that all those who want to be involved in the game of cricket be provided with the opportunity to do so. And we will be putting plans, measurable plans in place to do that in due course. Madam Chair, in conclusion, perhaps let me just say that this Board of Cricket South Africa is committed to acting in the best interests of cricket to ensure that it's a sport that grows, that is sustainable, and that reaches levels of excellence on the global stage. And we will do everything in our power to ensure that we get there, whilst at the same time ensuring that issues of racism play no role in our sport, and that we will take the appropriate steps to deal with it, both historically and going forward. I thank you for that. Madam Chair, if I may ask Mr. Moseki and my fellow board members, Sister Mutitambi Ravele and John Mokodi, they would like to add anything to the response I have provided. Thank you.
Honorable Mshong, I'm seeing your hand. I want to raise point of order. Honorable Mshong. Okay, go on. The next person, or is Mera there? Who's supposed to take us through now?
No, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, Minister, and members of the Portfolio Committee and Department officials. I just want to cover two issues. I think our chairperson has covered a lot of other issues that affect transformation. From my side, I want to respond on the issue whether we do have facilities in schools and townships. Yes, we do have a facility plan in the organization. Unfortunately, that could take another full day presentation if we have to present that. But all in all, I think I need to indicate that in facilities in the townships, we do accommodate schools and also our hubs. And just to give a summary, to indicate that in Western Cape, we do have 17, in Gauteng, 15, in Eastern Cape 11, in Mpumalanga 2, in Northwest 11, in Limpopo 3, in KwaZulu-Natal 11, in Northern Cape 4, and in Free State 3. And possibly it should be noted that building facility is not totally our responsibility, but it's one of the things that we end up doing because of the fact that we want to see kids participating in cricket in disadvantaged communities. We do, actually, we are working also on the other programs where we would be in looking at other communities to build those facilities. And as I said, we do have a facility plan which we can present if requested. The other issue is about women's issue. The Commission on Women and in Cricket, it's not to isolate women's issues to that commission. It's to deal with challenges that affect women in participation in sport. So all other issues about arranging the teams, payments of teams and whatever, they will be, still be done by different units within cricket. But there are specific issues that affect women in participating in sport that that commission will be dealing with. It's headed by a member council, Anne, who actually chairs that commission. And the commission is actually representative of players, of technical officials, of coaches, administrators. So it will be all issues that affect different sectors of women's participation in cricket that will be dealt with in that particular commission. And there's a recommendation that we are putting forward to the board to look at strengthening that commission. I think those were the two issues that were outstanding from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Any other intake, President?
Madam Chair, if I may specific questions, I will accept, but I'll answer all the others. Maybe, Chair, if you can allow me just to vote against the SGM report. The Ombudsman highlighted that the issues facing prison are a complex interaction of multiple factors stemming from the history of the country.
Just a moment. I'm being intimidated by the hands of honorable members whilst we are still responding. Yeah, Honorable Mshongo taken out. Honorable Adams, lower your hand. You are still given the, yeah, thank you so much. I'm sorry about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But maybe just to repeat, the issues facing cricket are a complex interaction of multiple sectors, stemming from the history of this country and consequent socio-economic factors that prevail today. The reason I'm actually highlighting this point again, Madam Chair, there is a danger of what we say as cricket people in this community might come across as though we are being defensive. So it's just to really put it in context that we are not being defensive at all. We do understand that we as cricket have multiple challenges. But it's important that that context of where the society is and the issues that we are trying to address on our own sometimes are considered into account, are taken into account. I think there were a number of questions, Mutambi and Ross team have covered them. I think some were from Mr. Mshomo regarding schools and township schools. I think Mutambi has highlighted that we do have a facility plan. And Honorable Marekwa also had questions regarding schools and accessibility. I think she particularly complained about our habit of taking out promising young black kids from township and rural schools and taking them to Model C. You know, I'd like to assure Ms. Marekwa that it is one of the things that really concern us pretty this one. Because we do have this danger of missing out a massive population of potential Protea players, because we can only take that name. I would love to see particularly primary school in Soweto, where I went, or Muletsane High School in Soweto, also having cricket facilities, but it's practically impossible for CSA to implement that. It has to be a societal solution to that. So So in this way, at least we do identify some kids that if we remove them from that environment and like put them in an environment where they can properly prosper and have a potential to play cricket professionally or at a Protea level, that's what we do. But it is definitely not an ideal situation. We'd love to have more facilities all over the place. I think that probably speaks to what Muditami was highlighting. To try to bridge that gap, we've got multiple hubs around the country. Because we can't have a facility in every school. It's not our responsibility, but we also can afford it. So what we do, especially in townships and rural areas, we've got multiple hubs around the country, where specific schools then will feed into that hub and give kids an opportunity to play cricket. You know, it is ideal. We can still probably have 10 times this, but unfortunately, finances are limited. And up until the schools and, you know, DPE as an example, catches up and provides more facilities, this is the least we can do to try to address that issue. Muditami did speak about gender, the Women's Commission, and I think she covered it very well. Mr. Adams spoke about the financial support. Ms. Adams, actually, Honorable Ms. Adams spoke about the financial support in this respect. I think it was covered by the DG, but her question was also linked to Mr. Joseph's question regarding the $4 million that we currently get from the department. I think specifically, Honorable Joseph wanted assurance from us that there are controls in place to ensure that the money that we get from the government is used for what it's supposed to be. And I can assure the honorable members that it is indeed used for that. We've got really, really strong controls that ensure that all the monies that we actually use in the system are used for what they're supposed to be utilized for. And the clean audits that we actually get annually, which is basically part of the reporting system to the department. That's maybe one thing that I need to highlight. We do get $4 million from the department, which we obviously appreciate, but we can obviously use far more than we get, you know. But they do have multiple priorities as well. Just as an example, that $4 million that we get from the department is supposed to support women's cricket and hub system. But our hub system, as I highlighted earlier, we literally spend over 35 million rand on the hub system throughout the country. And we spend about 40 million rand directly on rural trade, you know, let alone the amount that is spent by our members from the grants that we actually give. On women's development itself, we spend about 70 million rand a year, which is obviously needs to improve. But on women's professional trade, we spend over 40 million rand a year. So the 4 million rand, the department is obviously giving us what they can afford. But we definitely need far more to be able to address some of the challenges that we face as trade. Ms. Malumani, Honorable Malumani spoke about infrastructure and a number of other members. I think infrastructure, again, is that challenge that Lawson highlighted, Honorable Member. There is so much that we can do. Hence, the hubs, we still think that our hub system is the best way that we as cricket can actually try to help the country achieve it, because we want more people playing cricket, because then it will increase the base of players that we actually get, and we can potentially play for the Proteas. So an infrastructure challenge is also another societal challenge between the DBE, but also the Department of Infrastructure. Ms. Van Dijk, I think Lawson spoke about it, covered the question that Honorable Van Dijk did have. And I guess she did highlight that issue about where we can put up facilities, but also maintenance, then it becomes a local government responsibility. And if that is not covered, it's always a challenge for the organization to deal with that. I did speak, cover Mr. Joseph, Mr. Smithy. I think on my side, Chair, all the specific questions, I think, except one, I have addressed. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr.
Naito, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll ask Lawson to come in. I think he wants to deal with the one matter outstanding. If you can, please, Lawson.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I did indicate to you on the chat that I omitted to deal with the issue of the CEO appointments, which had been raised by a number of honourable members. So let me deal with that. Members will recall that in August last year, we placed a public advertisement for the position of Chief Executive Officer. We received a number of responses to that application, and we engaged the services of a recruitment company to assist us with the process. We did reach a stage where a short list of candidates was interviewed, but unfortunately we were unable to conclude an agreement to appoint anyone at that stage. We then embarked on a further process which is currently underway with the services of a separate recruitment company, and we certainly hope to be in a position to make an announcement in that regard within the next few weeks. So the matter is receiving the attention of the board. We're very cognizant of the fact that this is a priority both for the board and the stability of Cricket South Africa. But it is a process that the board is giving due attention to. And certainly, as I say, we hope to be able to make an announcement of progress on this matter in the next few weeks. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Rosson. President.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I've seen on the chat that the Honourable Member Rachel Allens had asked specifically around wasteful and fruitless expenditure. I think Poletti has touched on it briefly, but I think it's imperative that we do say that money specifically granted for hubs and women's curricula are ring-fenced. And every affiliate, every member has to report on the exact spending within the parameters set down by CSA. And this is naturally audited by our external auditors to ensure that the money is correctly spent. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you so long. Thank you, President, with your dedication. Honorable Minister, Honorable DG, or maybe Minister, you want to do a closing input after the DG? I don't know.
Well, thanks, Chair. It's the other way around.
Okay.
It's going to be the other way around, Chair. And thanks so much to honorable members with their questions. I think they helped, Chair, to focus all of us.
Honorable, just a moment, Honorable Minister. There's a hand of Honorable Songo. I don't know, and Honorable Masingos. Honorable members.
Chairperson, apology, Minister. Chairperson, I heard you saying he's rounding up, he's going to close. I thought you were going to have follow-up questions. That was the
no, I no, I was saying that he wants to respond, or you will wait for closing remarks. I was okay. Thank you. Yes, Honorable Minister. I'm sorry about this.
No problem, Chair. Thank you so much. You know, the point which is raised by Honorable Mshombo on FJN is an important one. But it can't be responded to by myself. Perhaps let me give you the background on SJDM. The Social Justice Nation Building Inquiry is an initiative of Cricket South Africa. So far, what we've said, we have encouraged the other federations to do the same, because it's an important exercise, as everybody would have witnessed. To answer your question, it is in the hands of the federations, because the minister is guided by the Act in terms of when and how to intervene on that matter. Even at this point, Chair, I would take the opportunity to actually call upon all other sporting codes to follow this very important process, and at the same time to thank Cricket South Africa to be bold, or by being bold and, you know, took this step, which helps to heal the divisions of the past. This is the path, the correct path, I would say, Chair. The issue of racism in other sporting codes. Chair, what I would say is that I would support you and support the Honorable Zondi that we are not dealing with everything today, but we're focusing on cricket. So I would suggest that we do so. But I would support you in saying that EPG process is important. It is important, and EPG itself must come before the community so that they are able to explain what they are doing. I can tell you, Chair, that it's not, whilst I agree that there's been challenges in terms of transformation, and especially as Honorable Lumsong was saying about the township sport and so on, but what I would not agree is that nothing is being done. I think a lot is being done. You see, Chair, there is a school sports championship program. And that program is continuing. It is making its difference in our communities. FIFA, or this year, we're going to experience the inaugural school sports FIFA Pan-African Championships for the first time. Now, with everybody there competing, model city schools and so on, people, and that competition is starting this month, later this month, I think in 2 weeks' time. And the people out of this program, a very focused program from the department, together with the Department of Basic Education, we have two teams which are going to be representing South Africa. One in the Lihlabile Brats, the high schools for boys there, and for girls, you have a high school in Edenday. Normal schools, no schools. These are schools in the townships, which means that we will be seeing outcome as we move on. So work is being done, and yes, challenges remain. In fact, I can say, Chair, that in terms of transformation, because transformation is not only about gender or race, it's a whole host of things. The economy of the sector themselves, the administration of the sector. So EPG looks at the global picture of transformation. And I can tell you, Chair, that as we have seen the results, Cricket South Africa has been doing better. They are worse, actually, as you would see when the EPG has come here and so on. So it's not nine ways that yes, as has been said. There is movement on that. Okay, what I also can say is that, which is not the fault of anybody, not of the portfolio committee or anybody else, the kind of attention and media attention to school sports has not been at the detailed level. People know the generality. I came here before this committee about 2 years ago, and I did say that what we see happening, you have 25,000 schools in the country, and only from 10% where we see movement forward. And I can say now that it's not that you see there are some movement forward insofar as that is concerned. I think the matter of the people who were appointed, Matbauta was mentioning, Pierre Smith was mentioning, that actually they were appointed by the board, which I disbanded, Chair, if you remember. And indeed, in this portfolio committee, one of its meetings, I did raise the issue of the top echelons of cricket South Africa and so on. Now, I think we can still do more again on township schools and village schools. But what I can say is that on this program of school sport check, 40% of the conditional grant is allocated to school sport for the provision of equipment, capacity, linear development, appointment of sport coordinator, participation in districts, provincial and national school sport camps, championships. So this is practically what we are doing as the department. And further than that, Chair, we have been providing multi-purpose sports courts in schools as an intervention. And these were sustained for more than a decade. In fact, our program last year, almost every Friday, I was in one or the other place, you know, providing these multi-purpose schools. Again, prioritizing townships and villages and so on and so forth. Now, we have the provision which is dedicated funding to National Federation, 16 codes of school sport program in particular. With regards to cricket, specifically cricket funds, the regional hubs. So we have all of these things, Chair, which we are involved in ensuring that the townships and villages are actually prioritized. Now, I've dealt with the issues which mainly were issues from Honorable Shongo. Chair, you know, Honorable Mandingozi, whilst in passing, has passed the condolences to Bradley Matheza, the late name, so rest in peace. Firstly, I want to commend him, especially highlighting this particular sports administrator, athlete himself in his own right and so on. And to say that one of the things, as the Honorable Martingos is raising his name, one of the contribution or the last contribution I would record from the late Matthias was his input into the SJN process. And one of the things he raised, which we discussed with the Cricket South Africa, one of the things he raised is that the program, which was the program for cricket development in the townships, in the villages, the Magalekusha, should actually be revised. And you know, in our own assessment of the report and what we put forth the things which need to be done, this is one of the areas which we will cooperate and work with Cricket South Africa to ensure that indeed, because we have seen that the Makandinis of this world come from that very process. So it means that it's a very important process. And thanks to Honorable Mandingo for raising the name. I think I can agree more with the Honorable Boni on the matters she raised, which have been responded to, again, touching on transformation. Honorable Van Wage, on the thanks for the question on the infrastructure. You know, these questions, Chair, are encouraging, because what they say is that the members take time to focus on that which helps sports in the country, and it's really commendable. I've said, I hope, even before I came to the question of Honorable Van Wage, should have noted what we are doing in terms of facilities. But let me say in addition, Honorable Van Wage, you know, for instance, the issue of the sport facility, and this I think we must grasp, all of us, very well. You've heard the Cricket South Africa that they do so much, and this is not their task and so on. The Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Schedule 5B, places responsibility of the provision of sport facilities on the shoulders of local government. Just as an example, if you have a problem, for instance, of the Masterpiece Morete Stadium or Odi Stadium and so on, it can't be asked from the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. It's local government. I mean, those pitches, for instance, are in a metro municipality, which, even if you want to compare, its budget is 10 times more than the budget of the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. You will talk about 5 billion, they'll be talking 40 to 50 billion. So it is their responsibility, and we must take heed to the Constitution so that we understand whose responsibility to do what. But be that as it may, we have, as I said, been able on our own to ensure that working with COFTA, really fence the conditional grants and get a bulk of that, 40% of the conditional grant allocated to sport. So where we are doing our part, but I want members, as they engage with this matter, to understand that whose responsibility is it constitutional in the country. Now, the MOA, Chair Honorable Van Wyk, it is there. I mean, what some of the things I'm saying about the school sport competition and the focus specifically.
Point of order, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Kusum.
Minister, on a lighter note, it's Ms. Van Wyk, not Van Dijk. Is it Van Dijk, not Van Wyk? Van Dijk.
Oh, sorry. Ms. Van Dijk, I don't know how I call you Van Dijk, because I know you Van Dijk. Sorry, I'm
thank
sorry.
You. Thank you,
okay.
Minister.
Thank you so much, Ms. Van Dijk. No, but Honorable Van Dijk, I think that I would agree with you. It's a matter which needs to be continuously engaged. We are not happy with the outcomes over and above what I've said. And as you know, Honorable Van Dijk, yourself, that this matter has been on our table for a very long time. And we have of late decided that let's review the MOA. So we're in that process precisely because of the point you are raising, that we do not reach, or we have not reached, the point we want to. Honorable Joseph, Dennis Joseph, honorable member, I can agree more with what you say, and I hope all members of the committee are taking heed to your call, that it is incumbent on sport bodies to transform and ensure that they move on that score. But then if they are not, then the minister should intervene. I think that sequence or that sequence is very important, honourable member, because as you know that what governs us is the act itself, and we would not, as surely from my part as the minister, I would not want to be in a situation where I actually been seen to be undermining the act. But if you empower me to do things now or amend the act in such a way that I get to the space of federations, we'll welcome that. But you are spot on, honourable member. And yes, honourable member, we definitely, as you are calling on us to support Cricket South Africa, we definitely are going to do that. We are going to support Cricket South Africa to ensure that not only the outcomes of SJN, but the broader challenges facing cricket are addressed. Actually, the board is relatively new. The board has come up with an ambitious strategic intervention for 5 years, even though there are 3 years in office. But it tells you that there is application of their minds in what needs to be done in ensuring that we have an outcome-based engagement, as it were. Honourable Zodi, tried to concentrate on cricket, and as I said, agreeing with you that the chair actually has said that APG will be called in to look into all the sporting codes in the country and see what then need to be done. Again, I agree with you that we will never support even the cricket SA, the board and cricket SA and cricket general, and any other sporting group. We will never support reckless and abrupt manner in addressing issues of change, issues of transformation, and so on and so forth. But at the same time, it is critical that we are able to drill down to have time-bound achievements or forecast achievements, as it were, so that both ourselves as a department and the portfolio committee understand what is being done. The last member, the system kicked me out. It's honorable Sibisi, but I heard him. I think some of the things he raised were mainly things of development of cricket in communities and so on. I think both the CEO, the chair, and the honorable Ms. Arabelle has touched on that. But I've also try to expatiate, especially on school sports, and what is that practical work we know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Did you? Are you found?
Yes, thanks very much, Honorable Chair. I think it will be incorrect of me to try and overemphasize what Minister has said in terms of detailed responses of what he has stated. Suffice to say that even in terms of monetary value on the school sport under MIG, we can confirm that this year alone, this was part of 40% of 601 million rand that we're talking to here, which is just an investment we can make. And as long as the budget can be more available, the more we can cover, particularly also with the delivery strategy to focus on rural as well as the township schools in relation to this. And this is just the MIG funding mechanism that we have. So I think, however, Minister has covered not almost everything that has been raised by members. I don't think there is anything much to add, Honorable Chairperson.
In that note, I'm going back to the Honorable Member, those who want to do a follow-up. I've seen the Honorable Mashinko, the Honorable Mshongo in that order. Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Mashinko.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you once again to the reply from the Cricket South Africa and the department. On my lighter note, Honorable Mshongo, you never corrected the chairperson when she called Minister Mketo, Mtai.
I called
No. You never corrected it is not Minister Mketo, it's Minister Mketwa. But it's okay, but when it was big, it was something else. All right.
But
Chairperson, we cannot have white players to be still being paid while black players are still suspended, even though they were all suspected of match fixing. What is the Cricket South Africa doing about that? Like on the note of the ICC, look, thing about this Brandon Taylor, I think it's from Zimbabwe, that was banned for 3.5 years for failing to report approach without delay. Meaning like he will be banned from the 28th of January 2022 to 28th July 2025. I mean, the ICC agrees with that, but what is the board saying about the breaches of that sanction? Are they not sounding very racist somehow? Look, on the original SJM terms of reference by July 2020, launched by the minister on the 28th of August, they included compensation. When is that happening? Are there plans at work on the modalities and the time frame? And look, that's why most of our players died poor. Like, what is the new board saying about that? And that's what about the charges. I've read some of the charges that they are conflicting. Charges of black African charges. Some they are 23%, some 22. Which one is which? I'm not quite sure. Chairperson, I want to find out why was Haroon brought in as a board member when he was cited in the forensic report? That is one thing. And look, there are other companies that, I think it's one company that Kabang appointed. They argue that he was paid for not, like, that company was paid for not work being done. But where were the financial control system at that time? And, some of the people are being paid, out of court, like Mr. Nasai Abia. He was settled out of court. Why are him alone? Did you know something about something? Why was he, asked to approve the keys from Abanji Zimali and why and anyone? How much money is being wasted on lawyers that target black professionals? That is another question. And if they are settled Mr. Nasai, why not settle all other people and continue to progress this transformation? Could all this money be used for cricket development? And the last one is, why is Mark Boucher not suspended? What difficult for the ministry to kick him out without compensation? It goes.
Thank you, Honorable Mashinkosi. Honorable Mshongana must be careful not to pronounce something wrong. We'll all be in for it.
I was not aware that you can't pronounce Mteto. But now I'm aware.
I was not aware that he did that. I am suspecting he's just accusing me. How come I rather called him? Why is he saying me now, Nyambose? I rather called Nyambose.
Yeah. Thank you. Nyambose, Minister, we are not saying you're not doing anything. You're doing something, but it's not enough, especially with school sports. Especially the issues of the linkage between school sports and the federation, or different, like you're speaking in cricket South Africa. There's a lack of linkage because you'll, for instance, you'll donate things in Soweto, wherever that you go, or build something, but we don't have professionals that are coming from those schools to cricket South Africa, to a professional board like cricket South Africa. I think there's a lack of linkage and other things, and economy and other things. To cricket South Africa, Mark Boucher, the hearing of Mark Boucher, Boucher hearing, will it be public like SJN was? That is the question. Will the hearing of Mark Boucher be public like NSJ was? That is the question. I wanted to find out, I'm concerned what Obabu, the honorable member, how many board members are old board members who serve in the disbanded board, who are on the new board? Give me the numbers. And how many new members who are on this new board? And then can we get the numbers and we'll see what honorable member was saying, which is correct. The issue of the CEO, can they tell us exactly? You know, we tend to not understand when, you know, when the minister will say in 2 weeks' time or I'll understand it to be a political issue. But administrators must tell us, he must not in weeks to come. When is the ETA? When are they going to appoint the CEO? What are the issues exactly? Who are the preferred candidates? Can they give us a short listed names now? Yes, you'll do it in, but we need the actual date. Can we have the number, the names of the shortlisted candidates right now? I think the CSA must be open and honest to us. Why have you not been unable to appoint? Tell us, what are the issues? What are the issues? The Thabang issue matter, I think it's still outstanding. It's not even resolved. And you know I was vocal with it. And I think we have to address that. Another issue that linkage to the question that I've asked, you've charged Smith, Boucher without suspending them, yet you allow them to lead the national team. It's questionable. It's questionable. Yes, you charge them, both of them, but you don't suspend them, but you make them to lead the national team. Next week they're going, they're somewhere now. It's wrong, unless you tell me it's not wrong, and then I'll understand. Why are you compromising that? You're compromising our players. And obviously it's uncalled for you to support them while you don't suspend them, but you want to discipline them. Chair, there's a call, obviously, of a permanent CEO, but this issue, I think, not a permanent CEO, the permanent ombudsman. I think, Minister, maybe it's directly to you. Yes, you are not interfering. I think you have encouraged, maybe you must issue a statement. I'm not undermining you. I'm talking like with the issue statement and encourage all this federation to come forward for us to address this issue of transformation. Because I can tell you, I still say the EPG is working slightly, but check the issues that cricket South Africa has addressed. The EPG did not direct them or call them to pass. Now, one of the last question that I have, did the SJN hearing achieve its all objective? That is the question I wanted to find out. Did it cover all the objective? What were the shortcomings, the SJN? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. My last follow-up question, I wanted to check, as you now
I don't know whether you have in months or a year that you are in the office. I'm not sure. I wanted to check, are you aware of this 50 million of legal fees which Cricket South Africa by this time is using? And then why this 50 million money being not appreciated, that maybe you can have the settlement of out of court, because this money is enriching the lawyers. Once it's fine to do that, but 50 million, is it correct? Is it a correct amount that Cricket South Africa so far has used 50 million just for legal or for your lawyers? And as Honorable Mhlongo, I did also emphasize this, that really you give somebody a special leave, but you also give him a job that he must lead people whom he disrespected. But as we are saying that you are still going to correct these things, but some you need it if you have chance to, just when you get in, just implement some other things, because I can't understand function somebody, but you're still giving him a role. By what Honorable Songwe is saying, I'm suspecting very soon we'll call you, as we're doing with all other codes when we want responses. Because I'm just saying that others, you do suspend them. We don't yet understand whether they are going to recover the monies. And this thing of CEO and the one of the letter, which is not with you, it's with us, it's exactly hampering on the your monitoring. How can that one member, I was thinking that the involvement of the outgoing board supposed to be part of all decisions which are taken either by CEO or CFO, and then no one must have right to do his or her own things. By this time, we're supposed to be getting what is going on about these allegations. Right now, Fund's report, it is there, and now we are hoping when we are calling you back, you must give us detail and give us what are you going to do about to all these discrepancies that are happening. I thank you. Any intake from the president, please?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll ask the Chairman of the Board to deal with a lot of the matters. The one that I think I should be, and I am in position to answer, is one from the Honorable Member Mhlongo around how many members of the current board at
the end of the question.
Okay.
It's Honorable Mhlongo, not Mhlongo. Mhlongo.
Apologies. Mhlongo. I'll correct myself. It seems to be a illness in this, but today, so I must apologize.
You know, if today they're even correcting me that I cannot pronounce ministers' surname, which means this meeting today, we are all in a way, I don't want to say this is a very tense meeting. It's not, but thank you for that apology.
Thank you. I think it's important that I would answer that question. There are two members that have previously served as non-independents that have been returned. And I'll ask you to give you a little explanation. Both of the members that are now serving on the board had served a period of 3 months just prior to the board being disbanded, and there are various representatives from the affiliates. Naturally, it's a democratic process, and there was no implication or any matters raised against the members that are now still serving. There is an independent that has previously served Cricket South Africa, yet serviced as a director for Cricket South Africa, African Norman Arendser, 20 directors up to 2018, and we had stepped down, and he has returned after a cooling off period. So I hope that answers you, Honourable Member. I'll ask the chairman to deal with the other matters which falls directly in his budget. I hope that's acceptable, Honourable Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm grateful to Rian for dealing with the first issue. Honourable Madlingosi, with respect to the issue of match fixing, which, as you will recall, took up a significant amount of time during the SJN hearings, and you will also have noted from the report of Advocate Intebeza, that he could find no evidence of any racism in relation to those match-fixing allegations and processes that resulted in the outcomes that they did. It was beyond the terms of reference for the SJN inquiry to go further than that, and their report is quite clear in that respect. With regard to the issue of compensation that you correctly point out was alluded to in terms of reference for the SJN inquiry. Again, no recommendation was made in that regard in the report of the Ombudsman, but of course it is something that, as we consider the report in its entirety, the board will apply its mind to. On the issue of the suspension or non-suspension of Graham Smith and Mark Barrage, I think it's important to state, and this applies to all of the legal processes that we are involved in, many of which we inherited from our predecessors, but it's a firm commitment of this board that we will follow due process in all that we do, so that everything that we do, any action that we take, is beyond reproach. In the case of the potential of possible suspension, I can assure the Portfolio Committee that the board took legal advice as to whether that was possible, and we received legal opinions from two senior legal figures, experts in the field of labor law, who advised us that there was no legal basis for Cricket South Africa to effect a precautionary suspension, either in respect of Mr. Mark Barcher or in respect of Mr. Graham Smith. Having received that legal advice, the board took a unanimous decision that it would be inappropriate to do so because it would open us up to unnecessary litigation on the issue of suspension, where the real issue was that we want to proceed with dealing with the allegations that have been leveled against both of them in the SJN report, and that is the decision that we've taken. So the decision not to suspend was the decision taken after due consideration of legal advice that was received by the board. In relation to the issue of the former CEO that was raised by Honorable Shlongo, that matter has been resolved. The matter was taken on arbitration, and the termination of the former CEO's contract was confirmed, and we've had no further process in that regard, and that process is therefore concluded. And it was the conclusion of that process that enabled us to then initiate the search for a permanent chief executive officer. Honorable Mshlongo also raises the issue of more detail about the CEO search process. As I indicated earlier, we're in the process of engagement with the new recruitment company. They have not as yet produced a list of candidates, let alone a short list of candidates. So we're unable to give any details because we simply don't have them as yet. You know, I would like to be able to say that we will have this appointment completed by the end of this month, and that's certainly the aim. But I think it would, in the circumstances, it would be unrealistic to give a fixed deadline when this is a moving target. And we, you know, what we can do, which I sought to do earlier, was to assure the committee that this is the priority of the board, that we are moving ahead to try and resolve this in the shortest possible time possible. With regards to the issue of the legal fees, Madam Chair, you are indeed correct that there has been a significant amount that has been spent on legal fees over the last few years. It's a matter that is regrettable, though I think has been unavoidable. And in relation to the specific that has been spent, you mentioned a figure of 50 million. And I think Mr. Musleki might be able to confirm whether or not that is the accurate figure, or indeed what the accurate figure is in that regard. With regards to the Funduzi report, I think we made it clear right at the beginning of the presentation that all of the issues and recommendations in the Funduzi report have been implemented, barring one or two outstanding matters that the acting CEO then highlighted. You make reference to a letter that the committee has received in regard to some aspects of the Funduzi report, but until such time as we are provided with the details, obviously we're not in a position to respond to that. So if I could perhaps just ask Mr. Musleki to respond on the issue of the legal fees, Madam Chair.
Some of the answers, we are still not some of us happy. You know, this suspension of somebody, and this somebody was been suspended, but is still at work. It's unfortunate that some of things is yandumez, and we cannot. As a committee, cannot challenge I don't know about the department, how do they feel about this report, but as I indicated that already, if 15M has been used, so once this committee, before the merging of these two departments, as in some entities within the department, then that they must come to terms of taking everything out of court, because we're seeing that then the Department of Sports and Cult Sports Recreation, they were digging more in the money, which that money was supposed to do its development, and with this other, which I'm not going to mention, he was also taking money that they were supposed to do its development, taking each other to court. But I'm not sure what our department did feel with other things. You know, immediately that you are saying that it's legal advice. As this committee once have problem recently of something that we were doing oversight, and our department was given legal advice of something that we were not happy about it, but comes some commissioner, it overturned that. But because we don't have money to have our own lawyers, and sometimes even our department is still complaining of a budget that we all know that budgets have been cut. Some of other things, Order, what can we say? I'm seeing the hand from Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chairperson. As is addressed, this is the Chair. Should address
these hateful things, Chair.
The response was poorly done. Can we get a letter from their legal team or their legal advisor? And can they give us the name of that company? And why don't you charge them with a proportional suspension, isilungeleso, than to just leave them? Charge them with precautionary suspension, and then we'll take it from there. Because if your legal advisor can get that correspondence, and as the chair was stating today, we'll take it to our legal advisor, and then we'll see exactly who's fooling who. Because one of the things that they tend to do, Chairperson, I think usually the federation, they tend to run away with legal advisors, told them this. And when we actually get our own, it's a different issue. Now I propose that let's have their correspondence, the name of the company and the correspondence, and then we'll take it from there. But I'm proposing let them suspend them with precautionary suspension. It's no, Gabo.
It's no.
Thank you.
When the slow, but they are going to lose. So that's the report that they are telling us, that as a slow, they see that they're thinking that they did take the legal advice, but let's take it as a committee, and our department will have our own meetings alone to take each other through and maybe think what else that a department can come to us, because once people say that they were advised legally, so Tina, even if the Papian Lumeza will sit aside with our department and discuss SS Lumosago and Oguk Lumeza Guam, I'm just proposing that let's do that, Honorable Members. Anything that our minister wants to respond on his follow-up questions?
Maybe, Chair, I will start and then the minister will come in.
Okay.
Yes. Chairperson, you raised the issue of the legal fees and what is the department take. Department does take a thin view in terms of the money being diverted from the operations and the meaningful, impactful programs that should take place towards legal fees. However, and we do encourage the issue of finding solutions outside of court.
Mm-hmm.
However, we all know that human beings are quarrelsome beings, and some of the litigations are closed on the and they have no option but to find the best way to defend their and a position if they believe that that position is the right position to defend for the advancement of the work of the Federation. However, it should always happen when all other mechanisms have been exhausted to try and resolve the matter out of court. So that is mainly our way and approach towards limiting the litigation costs that then divert the resources that are most needed but most also limited. That is the issue, Chairperson. That is our take as a department, but we understand that litigation, you don't really plan for it. It can come from outside and you have to defend and that particular institution. Now, the issue raised by Honorable Mashingozi on the suspension or action being taken on against Mr. Boucher, I think the only thing I can say is that is not ministerial responsibility. It falls within the board of Cricket SA. Minister may not deal with employees of the board unless there has been a clear breakdown of governance and incapacity by the board to deal with those matters that are internally their direct fiduciary responsibility. Now, on the issue, and I think the board has indicated steps that they have already taken on the tool already without a delay. We were encouraged and still encouraging them that they do move with speed as we take concerns raised by the honorable members about them being still there and still being in charge of the team despite those damning allegations leveled against them. But it is the board is doing that, and we're hoping that with the request the minister had made about timelines and the engagement that they need to fast track this process, that the board will hit the call in this regard and their commitment that they did give to the minister and the department. Now, on the issue of the disjuncture or the disconnect between the department and the, sorry, between the federation and school sport, maybe raised by Honorable Song, just first to confirm from our side that we have encouraged the federation to establish a healthy working relationship with schools, and this is at a level of a structural level and governance level, and that is by making sure that all sports structures that deal with school sports should fall under federations. And this engagement we have indicated and or even advised that such school sports structures, if their incorporation means that they amend their legislation, they must be able to do so. We don't want what has happened. I think Honorable Sibisi had raised this matter even before. That you have a conflict and a stalemate between SAFA and SAFSA. You have a problem and SAFSA, sorry, and SAFA, and these things end up being determined by court. So it's the same thing here, Chairperson, that we are saying rather have the schools, the bodies that deal with school sport, falling under the federation, because federations have a direct legal mandate in terms of developing the sport pipeline up to the level of excellence and the way you've got professional sporting bodies, but it is through school sport that you have the pipeline. Finally, is that the minister has indicated before, the issue of the MOU had been completed. What is left from our side was to just finalize consultations with the particularly, as we know that there are teacher unions there. We know that there are school governing bodies for the buy-in, and that is the consultation, most of them have been done. We are now engaging finally with the SASCOC on this matter of school sport to look at that MOU, and we are having a plan that by March the ministers would have signed this school, the MOU with basic education and the Minister of Sport and Culture, and of course had to also finalize the implementing model or the protocol, which we call a work plan, that also that we had to develop. So it was just the issue of getting an assurance about the buy-in by key educational stakeholders as we roll out this particular MOA once the ministers have signed. Honorable Chairperson, I would like to thank you.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Mteto. Honorable Songo, your hand is why are you laughing at me, Honorable Minister? Honorable Mteto.
Point of order, it's Honorable Mteto.
Titi Mteto, I would love to ask
him. We can go to recording, Chair, Titi Mteto.
Well, thanks, Chair, and I think at this point I must thank Honorable Malimbo who had the pronouncement. But thank you very much. No, Chair, really nothing on my part except to say that having engaged with this process for what now, over 15 months of cricket, I've never been in a situation where I see the possibility of the sport, particularly the sporting code, moving forward than now. that everything starts with the will. The will is there, and I think I once more pledge, as Honorable Dennis Joseph has asked, I once more pledge that we'll do everything in our power to work with cricket so that the country wins at the end of the day. You know, Chair, I think we should be celebrating the fact that in the field of play, cricket, as the chair said when we opened, cricket is scoring and scoring big for the country, and the support is needed, whilst at the same time dealing with that which is our challenges, because the challenges we want to deal with them, put them aside so that South Africans enjoy the sport they love so much. The majority of people in South Africa are cricket-loving people, we want to ensure that they enjoy their sport without cricket being in the news for all the wrong reasons. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honourable members, let me give it to the President of Cricket South Africa before I'm releasing and doing thanking for you to be here. President of Cricket South Africa, what do you want to say to us?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think it's the one thing that we have to realize that everybody of us are committed to this process of changing and bringing about changes in cricket. And naturally, we do expect that we'll be able to take the game forward, and yes, we will have obstacles. But as the Minister said, it is a big war within cricket to take our activities as a lightly calling the youth savers as suits out of the headlines and return the activities of what's happened on the field to be the majority matter that is covered. So yes, we realize that we still got a lot of hard work to do in dealing with these complex issues, but we are committed, and I can assure the portfolio committee as a whole, there are very hard questions being asked and being dealt with. So the very questions that are raised here are raised on various platforms, not only within the board, but from our stakeholders, and we do engage on those matters. So that is our commitment, and we will, as far as possible, and I know a lot of people would view that as that we weren't a lot very transparent, but those are the situations that we find ourselves. We must realize that some matters are being dealt with, that there is possible litigation and all that. But we will, as we progress, be able to provide both the portfolio committee an update, because I can assure you that the ministry at regular occasions will interact with Cricket South Africa, which we are grateful for. So I thank the portfolio committee for having us here today. So thank you, Honorable Chair.
Let me take this opportunity to thank our minister with his department. Also, let's thank you, the president of Cricket South Africa, and all the entourage which is with you. We had a fruitful discussion. We do still think that we still have outstanding issues, but as this responsible committee who's doing the oversight to our department, we'll have right outside this meeting with so many things that are very positive that are in the report, but those which we think that there are still want to be fine-tuned, and we still want to get a detailed report of what we are doing about the suspended, about the alleged ones, all those, that information, whilst you're saying the final report was out in December, and it was circulated even to our good friends, but given time, we want that we must all take this important important reports, those two reports, that they want us not to sleep until we find solutions. Solutions, problems, they are always to be there, but they need leaders who are proactive in trying to solve what you call the problems. And as a committee, we love to assist on closing the gaps, on asking maybe difficult questions, or to be too ambitious as a committee, because we are here standing for the poor of the poorest and the people who love sport, wanting to see it, this transformation, this issue of racism, this issue of development, that it must happen. I'm by saying that we are releasing you, our department, releasing everyone except the members of the committee.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and the members of the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable members, in front of us we have minutes of 1st of December. In front of us, this is page 1, briefing by public protector. I'm suspecting this one is an easy one. It's a long, outstanding, and we've dealt with. Go on. Short as it is, honorable members, I'm tabling these draft minutes to you to adopt them. I would love to
keep it up.
Yes,
if you go back on the memo, there's the computer pick up a word that is highlighted in red. Can you just check the spelling if that might be the problem? Corporation.
What is that?
If you go back on the report, just
yes.
Another go up. Go
up.
Back. More. Okay, I just want to check if that's correct.
You see this?
Is that correct? The word? The spelling?
Yes, it is. It just depends which English are we using? British.
Okay.
English.
Thank
is
you
correct.
For that.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any adoption? Thank you, Honorable Veronica. Thank you so much. Any seconder?
Second.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. We agreed. Thank you so much, Honorable Members. Put the second set of minutes. So. Honorable members, on the 3rd of December, we held our virtual meeting where the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture presented the white paper on cultural and heritage. Go on. You know, honorable members, when you raise your hand while somebody's on the floor or whilst the input is on the screen, I'm always not knowing whether you want to object. Let's wait on whatever we want to say. Can you go up again, so check that the surname of Honorable Boni, is it corrected, spelled? Because I've seen also you. Okay. Honorable members, I'm presenting this minute. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this is a true reflection, but there's omission there on number, I think it's the first page. Remember, okay, the minister asked me to send you the letters, and I did that. He said, no, he did not receive the letters. So on the first, go up again, Mama. When we, the introduction, when he was querying that I didn't ask the apology, I think there was some good apologies. I think after apologies, there was this issue, Chair, with him. He was saying, I don't send an email as I was told. And he requested me to send it to all the emails to you, and I did that. Wanted to find out what is the status and when are we going to deal with those issues.
I want to go to that in order that I must understand the revised paper, white paper.
I'm saying it was omitted on the minutes. This is the date that the minister, also I've raised the omission. It's not there, but I remember this is the date when the minister asked me to, I did not send the letter.
To send the letters to himself,
yeah,
because he claimed that he doesn't remember.
Yes. Yes.
Let's.
Madam Chair.
Hello.
We will listen on the recording and include it, Madam Chair. The minutes can be adopted with the recommendation that this be included.
Are you allowing us to do that, Honorable Mhlong? We adopt without seeing the, let's park these minutes on Friday. We'll come with the correct version. I'm proposing that, honorable members. Are you aware that we're having a meeting? Hello?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. We're having three sets of minutes, so Nova, they were two. So
we have three, Madam Chair. I'm just going to
fly.
Yes,
through.
There were three.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Sorry for that, but before we go to the other set, on the 3rd December, I was in the meeting and I didn't see my name on the minutes, and also I didn't apologize because I don't see my name there, if they can correct it also. Thank you.
So noted.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Put in the 3rd set of the minutes. Honorable members, I'm presenting these minutes of the 7th of December, briefing by Swimming South Africa on allegations of child sexual abuse. Honorable members, this is your time to reflect. You other, you correct.
Chair,
you,
Honorable Zondi.
Yes, Honorable Zondi. Honorable Zondi, yes.
No, Chair, I think that the reflection of what we discussed.
We are cutting. Honorable Zondi.
Chair, I'm saying they are the reflection of what we discussed. I move that we adopt them.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Veronica.
I will second that, but there's just one request. The President of SASCOC, Mr. Barry Hendricks, said to us that he will send us the minutes of that meeting that he referred to, because there was a bit of a dispute in that meeting about whether those meetings did take place. And I've requested those minutes more than once, but I don't receive any feedback from SASCOC. I also send it to the committee to Zuleka so that they can also ask when we will receive it. It's more than 2 months now, and we're still waiting for the minutes. Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption.
Thank you. We do follow up, Honourable Members. The minutes has been adopted. Also, which means on that day you have done your work. I've been getting emails from different stakeholders thanking the committee the way we handle this issue on that day. Let's keep up the good work, Honourable Members. Sometimes if we differ with small things, that's nothing, it's human, but you are always on point as this committee. By those words, Honourable Members, I'm thinking that, we have, can you also, I've forgotten that you are going to also adopt the report. Can you put our report? I'm sorry, Honourable Members.
The program name.
Yes, I'm sorry, the program. On the 25th of January, we were having a briefing of that passed on, and today we are in here. And then you did present this. We are coming again, and then on Friday we are having the following briefing, and then get 15 pack-offs and what else propose what we want to do for this oversight in all our outstanding issues. You can just drop a proposal to the Office of Administrators in order that maybe coming Friday, we must reach consensus. What do we want to do on the 29th March till 1st April? I thank you, Honourable Members. Your views, are you adopting? Are you amending?
I wanted to find out, can you put Netball South Africa somewhere? Because there are agent issues for the host next year.
On the 22nd February, it's in.
Thank you, Honorable.
Okay, no problem.
And move for adoption, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo.
Second Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. Thank you so much, Honorable Members. The work of this committee is becoming very easy day by day. Honorable Member, I must appreciate that. The engagement and the robust discussing is making us good to present this committee for our people who are not able to be part of us. I do thank the cooperation, the way that we're doing things is very encouraging. I'm thanking you, Honorable Members. Our staff also always with us, hands-on. Thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Shlongo.
Bye, everybody.
Mthethwa.
Hi, Comrade Dennis.
Comrade Dennis.
Hi, Comrade Dennis.